जय ओम विश्वपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश श्रीमान अभयचरण अरविंद भक्त वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नितिनिलय प्रविष्ट विश्वपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत गौड़ वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सोहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोव गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembly bodies. All glories to the assembly bodies. All glories to the assembly bodies. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namam Shubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swamin Nidinamini. Namaste Sarasvadevim Gauravani Prajarine Narvishesha Shunyavani Pashyatya Deshadarini. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गम् मामुद्धरवार्णवात् श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयम् प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थम् भव सागरे मनोरथी मदीयोऽयम् सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यम् दासोऽहम् तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदश्चातेष्वभिज्ञस्वरा ते ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषाम् धान्यास्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्मम् प्रोज्यतगैदवोऽत्र परमो नर्मत्सराणाम् सदा वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते सुम्बाभरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः दक्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुभमुखालमृतद्रव संयुतम् युगद भागवतम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहोरसिगाव विभावुका सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे पापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नमः यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमवेदकृत्यम् द्वैवायनो विरहकादरमाजुहावाम् पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिमानदोऽस्मि स्वानुभावमखिल श्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदाम् तमोन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरिन्न कनिकाभिकाभिकापि नमा ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले
శ్రీమతీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నిధి నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నంద వ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ట యాసం హరిగదో గీతం వినాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందర మందహాసం వదాలేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం పూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారక వేద వేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురదో మమ. ముఖం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతి గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం. గోవింద గోవింద.
So, when the modes of nature, when they get mixed up, that's when the me and mine comes in. When the modes of nature gets mixed up, that's where me and mine comes in a person. It develops in a person at that time. So, wherever the three modes of material nature is mixed up, what we have to understand is that the ahangaram in us, which is in the form of me and mine, which is ahangaram, that ahangaram comes into the jiva, and that is a product of maya. Krishna mentions this, guna guneshu vartande. In the Bhagavad Gita it mentions, guna guneshu vartande. Guna guneshu vartande means, when gunam gets mixed up, the after effect of that in the jiva. When the gunam gets mixed up, the after effect of that on the jiva. That is ahangaram, which develops at that point. So, we have seen here, that the one who has got modes of nature in him, which most of all of us have, natural attraction for us is the happiness that comes from the modes of nature, not the happiness from Alma. Instead, the happiness that comes from the modes of nature. At this point, when we will understand that better when Krishna concludes this chapter. He'll explain that. At that time, Krishna mentions a little more in detail these things. Only thing to remember this, guna guneshu vartande. Krishna says, guna guneshu vartande. When gunams are getting mixed up, a person who is in that gunam, he likes happiness from the gunam, not from the Atma. That means happiness from the Prakriti, not from the spirit, from the Purusha. Happiness from Prakriti, not from the Purusha. So, whatever vritti is inside, chitta vritti inside, And when he looks at this world in that way, that is why when that Jiva Bhavam comes up. But he does not know that it has happened due to the contact with the matter, with the Jagat. So, just like it is happening in the dream state, you can see that in the dream state work a little bit more clearer. It is the same way it is happening in the vacant state also. For example, in the dream state, look at the way it happens in the dream state. That the modes of nature in us, it puts us into contact with the Gunabhava. And even though the gross body and the senses are not engaged in any activity, all the experiences is there. Is it not? In the dream state also, if you look carefully, you'll see that there is no contact with the through the senses or through the gross body with the world outside. But still, due to the Gunabhavam present inside us, that Gunabhavam creates a feeling inside and we are experiencing everything just like in the vacant state. It's a very subtle thing. If you probably think about it, you will understand this. That the Gunabhavam, the power of modes of nature, that's what Krishna is explaining here. How powerful they are. And that is why at the end of this chapter, Krishna will say a few things about three modes of nature. We really don't understand these three modes of nature and the powerful effect of that in us. In fact, we are actually these modes of nature, nothing different from the modes of nature. Modes of nature is present in us throughout in everything. And therefore, Krishna is saying here that in order that the modes of nature has to withdraw from you, because the modes of nature is affecting us in the dream state even. What to talk about the vacant state. In the dream state, what's happening is that the modes of nature that is present in us creates the dreams, what we are experiencing at that time. And in that dream state, you are experiencing also the after effect of all the dreams while in the dream state. You are frightened, or you are happy, or you are distressed, or you are angry. All kinds of emotions is created inside the mind in the dream state. Even though on a gross level, the body is not involved, senses are not involved, nothing is involved. Purely a matter of three modes of nature and the mind is the dream. Purely a matter of three modes of nature and the mind. Three modes of nature is working inside and it creates its effect on the mind and you are experiencing that in the dream. Is it not? So, Krishna is saying here that it is at that time that this ahangaram is born. Ahangaram is already there because ahangaram, the only state where ahangaram is not present, is in the deep sleep, where ahangaram is dissolved. Whereas in the dream state, as well as in the vacant state, the ahangaram is present. So in order that the ahangaram has to go, in the bhakti process, sharanagati is the solution. The surrendering to Krishna and knowing very well that this ahangaram is a false thing inside, and by surrendering, that ahangaram will eventually disappear. In the karma margam, purely by, if the body is engaged, then karma margam, the process is through nishkama karmam. That means without expectation of any results. If karmam is executed, then that will relieve us from the effect of this ahangaram from there. So in order ahangaram to go, there's only two choices. In karma margam, through the process of offering everything to Krishna, and knowing well that Krishna is conducting the karmam through this body. You need not participate in that. You have to withdraw from that. Your participation is not necessary there. Karmam is happening through the body, and therefore karmam is completely an action performed by Antaryami inside. You have no involvement in that. If you take that approach in the karma margam, then you will get released from the ahangaram through the karma yogam process. In the bhakti margam, because that is not complete, it is a little different, because there it is sharanagati, completely surrendering to Krishna. Whatever you want to do with me in this body, that is up to you. And whatever results comes from that, that is your decision. I have nothing to say about that. In that way, totally surrendering to Krishna. Krishna is responsible for that. So, in this chapter, how Jiva's birth happens, he has spoken. Jiva does not know, because Jiva is a Ahankaram. Another form of Ahankaram. It's all very mixed up thing it is. Jiva has got all these qualities in the Jiva. Ahankaram is there, modes of nature is present there. This is all affecting the existence of the Jiva. With all their presence together is this Jiva Bhava. The purely, actually we are not Jiva. Jiva is born at a particular time, and when liberation happens, Jiva is gone. Jiva has no existence. So when Jiva takes birth, Jiva does not know when it is born. Jiva doesn't know that. But because of the influences of Maya, influence also the three modes of nature, and due to the vyavaharam it conducts in this world, it builds up its subtle body. It has its own purva vasana. Then it is there the modes of nature present here, which is the modes of nature is from the Maya, from Prakriti. And in addition to that, due to its own vyavaharam in this world, and it creates its subtle body, it builds up its subtle body. And after that, once its subtle body has built up, then it cannot stay without looking at something, or without speaking something, or without experiencing some joy or happiness from Maya. It wants that. After that, once the subtle body is created, then it is demanding some happiness from Maya. Either enjoying through the senses, or some form of Maya Sukham. Maya's happiness has to come. So when this idea that I am this body, when that comes, because it's a part of Ahankaram, that he starts thinking that the happiness of all the body is the happiness of me, although the me is not the body. Me is the Atma, the self inside. But when indeed within the jurisdiction of Maya, that he starts thinking that all the happiness I am experiencing in the body is the happiness of the self. Self is not experiencing anything, but it is the happiness of the body that is experienced in the mind. So because of that misunderstanding, it becomes necessary to purify the subtle body. Andhakarana Shuddhi, it is called. Andhakarana means the subtle body inside. The purification of that Andhakaranam becomes necessary. And in order to know that, in order to do that, we need to know about the way the gunam operates. The three modes of material nature operates. And so, but the problem is, if you want to conduct vyavaharam in this world, little bit of maya is necessary. Without maya, you can't conduct vyavaharam. Vyavaharam includes maya. So that means, when you say maya, what it means is, you'll have to say me and mine. You have to say that, otherwise you can't do vyavaharam, isn't it? So it's a complicated situation. That vyavaharam is necessary to do it in this world, and therefore me and mine will be present in the vyavaharam. Present in the vyavaharam. So if you have vyavaharam is sattvikam, and if the vyavaharam is sattvikam, and if there is vairagyam inside, and if there is power of discrimination inside, vijana shakti, if all these three things are there, then in due course of time, you can get over this modes of nature or maya, modes of nature or maya. Because jiva is not born with the birth of body. Jiva is not born at the same time as body. Practically, this jivatvam, or the nature of the jiva, starts manifesting when the modes of nature is present in him. Otherwise, initially it is Atma. That Atma, when does this happen? When does actually jiva is born? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Jiva, the birth of jiva, is an interesting situation. We know very well that we are pure consciousness, Atma. And as you are coming from the womb of the mother, that time Ahankaram is not there. Ahankaram is not there. Ahankaram and also the modes of nature, they are put inside at some point in time later. When he starts identifying with the body, me, mine, all these things develop. And that is a gradual birth of the jiva. The gradual birth of the jiva. So it is this freedom from these effects of maya or prakriti, modes of nature, and getting released from that is what is called moksha. Atma doesn't require any moksha. Atma is always liberated. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Krishna is also saying that, is it not? That Bande Mukta Bandho Mukta Idivyaha Gunadomena Vastuda Unasya Maya Mulatval Name Mokshona Bandhanam. As far as the self is concerned, there is no bandham, there is no moksham. But for whom and then this bandham moksham? For whom is this bondage and liberation? That question will come. Atma doesn't have bondage or liberation. Then for whom is this bondage and liberation? And is it for the gross body? No, because at the time of death, the gross body is going anyway. So where is the question of liberation? You are already liberated from the gross body, isn't it? So practically you can see that Atma doesn't require liberation, body doesn't require liberation. Instead, this jiva, which is caught up in the subtle body, with the ahankaram, vasana and the modes of nature, is who requires liberation. Gross body doesn't require liberation, because we know definitely one day this will go. This body will go. So it's not nothing to be worried about. It will go. So there is no liberation there. Atma is concerned, he's always liberated. He doesn't require liberation anyway. But then who is looking for liberation? Liberation is for this thing called jiva, who is caught up by, under the influence of the modes of nature, which is maya or prakriti, three modes of nature, ahankaram, which is come up inside in the form of ahankaram. All these things combined together is jiva. Ahankaram, the three modes of nature, everything combined together is called jiva. So, in order to do that, first of all, we have to know, once you know that, who is looking for liberation? Jiva is looking for liberation. Atma is not looking for liberation. Body is not looking for liberation. Therefore, we have to know how jiva is bound, the bondage of the jiva. So, and analyzing this, who am I? What is my identity? And how I have come to this situation in bondage. These things, analyzing that, is called Atmanatma Vivekam. This is called self-inquiry. This is called self-inquiry. Because if you think that I am a part of the Atma, if you have that awareness inside, it is called Satya Ahankaram. Satya Ahankaram means that you have an awareness that as even though you are jiva, you are still a part of Atma. My qualities are actually the qualities of Atma. If this awareness is in me, then that ahankaram is satyam. Ahankaram is satyam. Instead, if you are thinking that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer in everything, then your ahankaram is rajasam. Ahankaram is rajasam. If I think that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, so you can see when it comes to, and then let's see, look at the last one. Instead, if you think that I am all powerful, I want to control others, and I am in charge of the situation, then in that case, your ahankaram is tamasam. So there is tamasa ahankaram, rajasa ahankaram, satya ahankaram. The more ahankaram becomes finer and finer, you will see it gets closer to Atma. The more ahankaram is very gross, then it is tamasam. If it gets a little better, then it is rajasam. And when it gets very finer, it is still ahankaram, but it is satyam. Ahankaram is still there. Ahankaram is there as long as I think me and mine. That's ahankaram. I am. All that is ahankaram, isn't it? So ahankaram is a part of jiva. Jiva is nothing but ahankaram. And that ahankaram is mixed up with the three modes.
Mikshamvidhi, three modes. So when it is in the most gross form, that means when it is tamasahangaram, it manifests in a person that I am very strong, I am capable of doing so many things, and he has got so much strength and confidence in his own abilities and in his controlling power becomes very deeper. In other words, he gets very absorbed in the world and complete ignorance basically. And that way, if ahankaram grows, that case you can say it is tamasahankaram. Now, while speaking it may not come out, superficially it may not be there, but in your subtle level it will be there in a person. Like you can say big people who are very powerful in this world, big politicians or businessmen or whoever has got control in this world, if you look at their nature, they know how to speak in a very, very pleasing way to you. But inside that, ahankaram is very, very strong. If you cross the line, they know what to do. They always talk like that, isn't it? You cross the red line, they say. That's how they talk. So that is ahankaram speaking from inside. Because their ahankaram won't allow that you have crossed the line, he says. So if there is samasa ahankaram inside, it will come out in this way. That they know that they have drawn a line and they say that's how far it can come up to. But if you cross that, I will know what I have to do. This is their attitude. This is samasa ahankaram. Rajasa ahankaram is a little bit more finer than that. In rajasa ahankaram, the person will say that he is always conscious that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. I am the doer and karta bhokta. This is there in the person. But it has not grown to such gross level like in the tamas ahankaram. So that is rajas ahankaram. You can see all these big leaders, politicians, leaders, or leaders of different countries who are fighting and arguing each other. This tamas ahankaram is very strong in them. Tamas ahankaram is very strong in them. When it becomes finer than that, from Rajasahankaram, if it gets finer, it takes in a different form. And that form is, you are aware that I am something to do with spirit. I am not purely this matter. I am not purely this body. I am not the mind. But there is an element of spiritual awareness in me. But Ahankaram has still not left me. That is called Satya Ahankaram. So in this way, three levels, Satya Ahankaram, Rajasahankaram, Tamasahankaram. One important point you have to remember in this chapter is the birth of Jiva. Jiva is a very difficult thing to understand. How we start thinking Jiva is also sometimes, we have this concept that Jiva is born at some point and when Jiva will go back to somewhere else. No, Jiva is nothing but Atma's another manifestation mixed with Ahankaram and mixed with the modes. When modes and ahankaram is present in a person, his consciousness is operating in another level, and that is called a jiva. In a peculiar level it's operating, in the mode of satya ahankaram, rajasa ahankaram, tamasa ahankaram. But atma instead, pure consciousness, awareness, he is untouched by the modes of nature or by the ahankaram. It has no contact. So that clarity is there in this chapter. Krishna will explain that a little bit more at the end of this chapter. So similarly, when we talk about I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, ahanda mamata, it is called aham mameti, ahanda and mamata. Ahanda is I am, mamata is mine, me and mine. So when one realizes in Satya Ahankaram, the good thing about Satya Ahankaram is that I am conscious that Krishna is present inside my heart. And that same Krishna is present as Antaryami in everyone else's heart. If you have that awareness, Krishna says, that is also mamata, sattvika mamata, it's called. Attachment in the sattvika mode, in the mode of goodness. Then, attachment to the body in the form of, for the man, in the form of women and children, and for women, man and the children, that kind of attachment, mine, this attachment, That is Rajasam. That's Rajasam. And getting annoyed with other living entities and punishing others with vairabuddhi, enmity towards others, and to react cruel and violent to others, thinking that they are the body, I am the body, that is tamasa mamada. So me and mine, even, goes with satvika rajasa tamasam, satvika rajasa tamasam. Remember, all these things, it helps sometimes. That even when always conscious of the awareness of the soul inside, in relationship with that, if you think that is satvika ahankaram. When you start thinking that I am the doer and enjoyer, that is rajasa ahankaram, rajasa ahankaram. And then if you start thinking that I am the controller of everybody, I can control any situation in this world, that time it is tamasahankaram. Tamasahankaram. Then similarly, when you are aware that Krishna is present in my heart, and same Krishna is present in everyone else's heart, if you have a little bit of awareness of that, that is sattvika mamada. Sattvika mamada. But instead, attachment to my wife and my children and thinking like that all the time, only in that way, if your attachment is in this world, then it is rajasa mamada. Instead, if you have enmity or ill feeling towards other living beings and in a mood of punishing them and developing a inimical nature towards others, that is all due to tamasa mamada. So all these things Krishna says here. Now yesterday when we discussed this, we were talking about that the, in 25th verse, vanam tu, that is the next one. We saw karmam and jnanam, how it's affected by the modes, isn't it? That is 23 and 24. 23 about karmam, 24 about jnanam. So in 24 we saw kaivalyam satyam jnanam rajo vaigalpikam chayat pragradam tamasam jnanam man nishtam nirgunam spradam. We discussed that yesterday. So tamasa jnanam is pragradam, rajasa jnanam is vaigalpikam, and satya jnanam is kaivalyam, which means that satya jnanam, you will always be directed towards self-realization. In other words, always looking to escape or to free yourself from this bondage, from this trapped condition. We are all trapped in this world, in the body, is it not? In the mind, like a prison, like a jail it is. We are inside a jail. All of us are in this jail. And how to free from this jail, this will be the thought. One who has knowledge of satya jnanam. The symptom of satya jnanam is how to free yourself from this jail of body. Kaivalyam satya jnanam. Then rajo vaigalpikam chayan. Rajasa jnanam is full of vigalpam. Thought waves coming and invading inside. Completely absorbed in the matter and in the world. And pragradam tamasam jnanam. Krishna says pragradam tamasam jnanam. Completely no knowledge inside, like a dead wood, living like that, that is tamasam. Living like a dead wood, that means no awareness of anything. Rajasam has got awareness, but only problem Rajasam has got is full of thoughts coming in. It's a very subtle thing, these three, and you will see the difference very clearly between the satyam, rajasam, tamasam, if you analyze it. Satyam is always inside, there is only one thought strongly working. That is how to leave it, it will go. Satyam is that one. Satyam is that one which makes you always aware that I am not to do this body, nothing to do with this body. It will go. It will go. So satya jnanam is that you are not feeling that any relationship with the body, practically existing without any relationship with the body. Instead, always in a little slight awareness inside that I have some spiritual awareness in me. That is Satvika Jnanam. Rajasa Jnanam, Krishna mentioned Vaikalpikam, which we talked yesterday. Pragritam Tamasam Jnanam, Mannishtam Nirgunam Smritam. Mannishtam Nirgunam Smritam. But instead, Nirgunam stage is you are completely situated in the Atma. Purely situated in the Atma. Mannishtam. Here you can see Mannishtam when Krishna says, established in Krishna, established in Atma, in other words. Next one, Krishna is saying, Vanam tu satyo vasam, gramam rajasam uchyade, tamasam dyuda sadanam, man nigedam tu nirgunam. Vanam tu satyo vasam, gramam rajasam uchyade, tamasam dyuda sadanam, man nigedam tu nirgunam. Of course, these things were in relationship with the time also, you have to take that. Generally, you can say Satunam is more in the forest. Satunam is in the forest. Rajogunam is in the cities. Is in the cities, towns and villages. There is Rajogunam in cities, towns and villages also. Tamasam Dyuta Sadhanam. Tamasam gunam, tamasam is present in places where there is forbidden activities are going on. Gambling, illicit sex, intoxication. They are all places where tamogunam will be prominent. So that is Krishna is saying that this is, will be the general, this is the reason why rishis and sages, they went to the forest for this reason only. That for satugunam, it helps their satugunam to build up. Only for a support from the nature. That is why the rishis, the sages, they went to the forest. For this reason only. Vanam tu satyo vasam, gramam rajasam uchyade, tamasam dyuda sadhanam, man nigedam tu nirgunam. And beyond these three modes of nature is Krishna's temples, which is nirgunam. But it has to be a temple. It has to be looked and run like a temple. Only then, not otherwise. That is why we have to be very, very careful all the activities what we do in the temple. If we mix it up with rajasam and tamasic activities, then it doesn't have that nirgunam anymore there. Krishna is saying to us, that means where proper deity worship is going on, where is there is no other vyavaharam going on, there is no other rajasic or tamasic activities is going on, that place Krishna is saying is nirgunam. Beyond the modes of nature. But if everywhere, if places like, that's why in the ancient times, they never allowed business and other activities in the temple. They were in such places, they built the temples in such a way that Rajasa Tamasa activities won't happen there. In such a way they protected that. Nowadays we do it in the city center, isn't it? Everything, everybody wants to be city center. Temples also want to be in the city center. Because we say for preaching benefit. That's all right. But that's okay. You can preach. You can get people to preach to. But at the same time, the problem we have is this Rajogunam, Tamogunam will be very strong around. That's unavoidable. And it will creep into the temple as well. It cannot be avoided. It cannot be avoided. Whereas if you look back into the historic places, temples, how aloof they were from the middle of the population, general population. So, then, next one. Satya karago asangi, ragha ando rajasa smritam, tamasa smriti vibrashto, nurguno madhavashraya. Krishna saying about karta. The same thing what we have seen in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Karta, karmam, jnanam, Shraddha, Sukham, all these things, Krishna is explaining a little bit more in detail here. Satya karago asangi, raghando rajasa smradam, tamasam smradi vibrashto, nurguno madhavashraya. He says. So, kartava, that means the doer here. If he is not taking any ownership anywhere, simply doing things as it's passing through him. If that is his, that means a certain indifference to the ownership of the karma. He's not bothered. Karma happens through him, but he does not take any ownership of that. That person is Satyam. That is Satyam. Then Rajivanda Rajasas Prada. Rajasam is exactly opposite. He will think, I am doing everything. If it's not me, how these things will go on without my presence? And in everything, he wants to be the controller. And he wants to be the authority in everything. And that is his very nature. So that's why, if the person who is asangi means who has no sangam, no attachment, he will do his karmam in a asangam. Without any attachment, he will carry out the karmam. And only thing is, when he is doing his karmam, he will say like this, he will think like this, that this has been given to me, Krishna has given me this responsibility or duty or whatever, karmam, and let Krishna be pleased with what I am doing. Let Krishna be satisfied with what I am doing. And that will be the sattvika nature. Rajasic nature is that ragalmagam. Krishna says, Ragandho Rajasasmradam. There will be definitely attachment to it and aversion. He will say after it, oh, I did it very well. Or he will say, it didn't work out very well. This kind of comments will come from him. It didn't come out well, or four people have to appreciate what I have done. Expectation of that, appreciation from others. This is due to ragam, is it not? So those things will be there. If there is Rajasam, Karta is Rajasam. So, or he will also think when he is doing the karmam that this should benefit somebody or this should give trouble to somebody. Ragam and Dvesham in the karmam. So all that is a nature of a Karta who is in the Rajasic stage. Who is in the Rajasic stage. Instead, if he is in the Tamasic nature, he won't think very much about it. And he will not be controlled by any rules and regulations. He will do what he likes. He will do what he likes. And result of that is, very bad reactions will come from that. Nicha nicham anubhav. Nicha means very low experiences will come from that. That means acting very independently, without any respect or care for Shastram or for others' welfare. Acting independently. That means there, what we say, is alone to itself, we will say like that, isn't it? That nature. That is tamasam, tamasa kartava. So satyam, rajasam, tamasam. Satya person completely detached, karmam goes through him. His only prayer will be prayer to Krishna that whatever is coming through this body, let that please Krishna. Let it not cause any unhappiness to Krishna. That will be the mood inside the satya kartava. Rajasa kartava will act in such a way that it will create a lot of ragam and dvesham in him as well as in the others. He will do the karmam in such a way, sometimes he will think that this should benefit somebody. Or he will think this should create problem for somebody, according to his raga dvesham. So all the karmam, he is present in that, completely identifying with that. Tamasa kartava, a person in the tamasam mood, he will always do things in such a way that he is not bound by rules and regulations. Vidhi and Nishedam. Shastram does not apply to him. He will do what he likes, and with the result of that, he will get sometimes very extraordinarily bad results will come from that. After effects will come from that. Then, Shraddha. Sattvika Adhyatmiki Shraddha. Karma Shraddha Tu Rajasi. Tamasya Adharmiya Shraddha. Malsevayamta Nurgunam. Another important Shraddha, Shraddha's nature. If there is Satyam, Shraddha is Satyam inside, then that person Adhyalpmigi Shraddha. Always attention will be focused on spiritual life. Satyam Adhyalpmigi Shraddha. Karma Shraddha to Rajasi. If there is Shraddha in the Rajasic mood, then he will be absorbed in the karmam all the time. Karmam in all the time. Karma Shraddha to Rajasi. Then, Tamas Adharmaya Shraddha. If his Shraddha is in the Tamasic nature, then in Adharmam, completely irreligious activities, exploiting, cheating, and all kinds of different kinds, without any restrictions, he will do in this world. Tamasi adharmaya shodha, malsevayamta nurgunam. And instead, if you have transcended all the three modes of nature, then your shraddha will be nirgunam. Nirguna means there is nothing else in except Krishna inside. Completely filled with Krishna consciousness, in other words. So, therefore Krishna is saying here, you can look at somebody and you can know where his shraddha is. Satya person, only adhyatmika shraddha, which means, what does that mean? That means, his life will be, in the pattern of life will be, throughout the day if you observe him, one after the other, spiritual activity. Sometimes in meditation, sometimes in chanting the holy name, sometimes in kirtanam, sometimes in preparing prasadam, or chanting the holy name, and after the chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or eat commentaries, and like that. Swadhyayam, and then he has time, going to the temple, paying obeisances to the deity, salsangam, one after the other, this will be his pattern of life. All these things. Chanting the holy name, visiting the temples, engaged in kirtanam, and sharing prasadam, or studying shastram, and his shastram is a wide subject, is it not? Or studying the shastram plus the commentary of the great acharyas, devotees, their opinion about shastram. In this way, throughout life, they keep themselves occupied in this kind of services. So therefore, only adhyalpiyam, spiritual activity, his shraddha will be. Rajasic person, shraddha in the karma. Karma shraddha to rajasi, Krishna says. Then, if you look at him, instead of the sattvika shraddha, he'll be so busy. His diary will be full. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, everything will be filled up. And if you ask anything, he says, let me have a look at the diary, he will say. And so, that is that rajasic nature. Rajasic nature. Sattvika person, he won't be keeping a diary. Rajasic person will keep the diary. Because he is more busy than the Satya man. Satya adhyalpini shraddha, because he knows his shraddha is in one place. Where Rajasi's shraddha is not in one place. It is in many places. Isn't it? So, Satya adhyalpini shraddha, karma shraddha to Rajasi. And so, karma shraddha is like that. Tamoguni, his shraddha, he is looking for trouble all the time. Where can I create problem? That will be his shraddha. His shraddha is there. Adharmam. That means he doesn't want any control. He doesn't want any discipline in life. He wants to do what he likes to do. He will do what he likes, in other words. Not want to follow any shastram. Don't want any rules and regulations controlling him. He says, I am a free person, he says. I am a free man. I'll do what I want. Who are you to tell me that? That's his approach. So, and he will do things what should not be done. He'll go and do such things. Or whatever he does, it will be trouble for others. Even if he does something, it will be only problem for others. So that's those three things. Sattvika adhyalpiki shraddha, karma shraddha tu rajasi, tamasya adharme ya shraddha, mal sevayam tu nirguna. That's of course, if you are completely fixed up in Krishna consciousness, then that is nirgunam. Totally fixed up in Krishna consciousness. Where shraddha in there, that means that your shraddha is so advanced that you don't know anything else existing except Atma. Complete absorption in Atma or in Krishna. That is nirgunam. That is nirgunam. Then Krishna says the next one is the food. Pathyam pudamanayastam aharyam satyam smritam tamasam chendriya prashtam tamasam chartida shuchi. Pathyam pudamanayastam aharyam satyam smritam rajasam chendriya prashtam tamasam chartida shuchi. So what does that mean? Pathyam Pudam Anayahyam Anayasam. Pathyam. Pathyam means that food which is which does good to all the senses. In all the senses, mind and intelligence, for the body, in every way, it won't do any harm to any of these things. That type of food. That is called Pathyam, Krishna is saying there. Pathyam Pudam Anayasam. Then, that kind of food, suppose you have some illnesses, chronic illnesses like diabetes or cancer problem with the, various diseases which are chronic. The food, that won't harm, upset any of those illnesses. It won't cause any problems to that. That kind of food. That is what Krishna is saying here, Pathyam. Then, this food can be consumed by anyone. That means, whichever state you are, whatever illness you may have, still this food won't cause any problem. That is Pathyam. Pathyam Bhudam Anayastam. Then, Pudam means pure, and Anayastam, that food is prepared without too much effort. Some things takes a long time to prepare, isn't it? Certain type of food. You can see they will spend a lot of time in the kitchen preparing that particular food. That's not considered to be good. Pathyam Pudam Anayastam. Anayasam. Anayasam means that without any extra effort, in an easy way, it should be prepared. And that means you're not preparing it, giving a lot of trouble to a lot of people to prepare it, to prepare that food. That is Satyam. Then Rajasam means that Rajasam means that that food that excites senses, which excites the senses, and it creates problem because you get very disturbed inside, rajasic food. And tamasam is, Krishna says, artida ashuchi, artidam. You eat like that, that when you see the food, you don't want to eat it. And ashuchi, it's impure. And if you take that food, it will create problems somewhere, either in the body or in the mind or in the senses. Somewhere it will cause problems. Then, next one. Because these things we have discussed before also, won't keep repeating that, but you know. Satyam sukham almotham, vishayotham tu rajasam, tamasam moha dainyotham, nirgunam madhavashrayam. Now, sukham. This is the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has spoken again. Sukham, three kinds, he says. Satyam, sukham almotham. Happiness that comes from the soul, from self-realization and from spiritual life, a sukham comes, happiness comes. That is satyam. If you are having some happiness from spiritual life, that is satyam. Almotham, Krishna says, coming from Atma or in relationship with the Atma. That means it comes from within himself. It comes from Atma. Then, Rajasam, Vishayottam to Rajasam. From sense gratification, happiness is coming. That is Rajasam. Because that is the normal sukham in this world, people say that. Rajasam it is. What we say, like various ways sense gratification goes on, is it not? Watching a television, watching football, or what is that, this modern music, which is famous, isn't it? The kind of music what you see, pop music and all such things, that's all Rajasam it is. And similarly, eating in the restaurants and trying to create taste in the food by using all kinds of rubbish things in the food. And very, very famous restaurants and famous chefs, they prepare famous dishes. And the customers, they go and enjoy it. They say they enjoyed it very well. So purely for the sake of tongue, food is prepared. and purely done that with ingredients which should not be eaten. So you can see everything is rajasam tamasam, but ultimate goal is to create taste for the tongue. That's what Krishna says there. That sukham, anything coming from sense gratification in that way, is rajasam. Which is a big field, isn't it? Rajasam is a big field. Vishaya sukham. Sukham comes from sense enjoyment. That is rajasam. Then, tamasam. Tamasa sukham is, one come from deep sleep, what he gets a happiness, and then sitting idle, not doing anything. Just being idle, in that way feeling happy about it. So, all these things are satya rajasa tamasam. Moha tamasam moha dainyotham nurgunam madhavashrayam. Moham dainyam. That's the two things. Moha means, we talked about it before also, living on illusion. Living in an illusion all the time. Thinking that, oh, tomorrow something will happen. Or something is going to happen to me. I'm going to get it. Something better. Always building up castles in the air about tomorrow. And feeling extracting pleasure from that. Tamasam moha dainyotham. And or otherwise, feeling happy, being miserable. Being miserable and making relationship with others in that state and receiving compassion from others. And in that way, getting some happiness. When others show some compassion to him, he feels happy. Tamasam moha dainyotham, Krishna is saying. And then nirgunam madhavashrayam. Of course, that is the one who has gone beyond the three modes of material nature. His state. Nirgunam madhavashrayam. Now, after that, Krishna is concluding this chapter. In the next verse 30 to 36. These six verses is a conclusion of this chapter. And Krishna has something important to tell us. Dravyam, desham, phalam, kalam, jnanam, karmam, chakaraka, shraddha, avastha, akriti, nishta, traigunyam, sarva evahi. Dravya, desha, phalam, kalo, jnanam, karma, chakaraka, shraddha, avastha, akritir, nishta, traigunyasa evahi, sarva evahi. He is saying, dravyam, desham, kalam, Bhalam, kalam, jnanam, karmam, karta, shraddha, jagrat, sotnam, sushupti, avastha, devatu, adyagrit, agridi, surgadi, nishta. Everything is three modes of nature. Look at that. There is nothing excluded. Everything is there. Dravyam, you know what that means. Whatever you have acquired, wealth, whatever you can say. Desham, the place. Bhalam, the results of your work that comes from there. Kalam, time. Jnanam, your knowledge. Karmam, your actions. Karta, the doer. Shraddha, your attention. Tri avastha, jagral sapnam sushupti. Devatu adi agridi, that means demigods, human form, rakshasa form, asuric form, devil form, all kinds of forms. Then, surgadi nishta. Agadir nishta. Surgadi nishta means that living in surgam, heavenly planets, earthly planet, lower planets, wherever it is. That nishta, what you are there. Like this, everything in the creation, Krishna is saying, is trigunalmagam. Trigunalmagam. All these things is under three modes of material nature. And therefore all of them comes in these three modes. Satika, Rajasa, Tamasa. Everything comes under Satika, Rajasa, Tamasa. All of them become in the in goodness, then it will benefit us. If all these things, Dravyam, Desham, Phalam, Kalam, Jnanam, Karmam, Karta, Shraddha, Jagrat avastha, devatva, agriti, surgadi, nishta. If all of them is filled up with satugunam, then it's beneficial to us. It will help us. If it is in the Rajogunam, then it will do a lot of damage to us. And so therefore, this technique, Krishna is saying, the important thing is, in everything, to look for Sattvagunam. All the time to look for Sattvagunam. If it is Dravyam, Desham, those things, what Krishna has mentioned there, because everything is Tragunam, all the time the attention should be to look for them in Sattvagunam. In Sattvagunam. And experience them or enjoy them or use them in the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness. And a person who has that in the Sattvagunam, naturally Sattvagunam will grow in him. If you do all these things, if you live with them in a rajasic way, rajogunam will grow inside the person. Or if you do all these things in a tamasic way, then tamogunam will grow in a person. That's the first point. This is the first point. This is the most gross side of it. The remaining instruction is further subtle. That's why sometimes it's difficult to... Only thing is, when you study this chapter, you will know that you are practically very much under control. There is not a lot of freedom we have in all these things. But whatever little freedom Krishna has given, that freedom is in the form of knowledge. Knowledge of these things. And if you become more and more conscious of it, then you won't go and do something wrong in ignorance. You won't act. At least that much you can avoid if you take notice of these things. So, Krishna is saying here that these 10 important Dravya Desha Bhalakalam Jnanam Karmam Karagam Shraddha Avastha Agriti Nishtha, all of them is in the Sattvika Rajasa Tamasam. If you try to create them in the Sattvika state, experience them in Sattvika level, that will benefit. If it is in the Rajogunam, it will do damage to us. And if it is in the Tamogunam, then you don't have to say anything. What will happen? That will be a disaster. Then afterwards, that means there is no further escape from there. That is what, and if you engage with them in a tamasic way, tamogunam will grow inside. Tamogunam will grow inside. Dravyam, desham, phalam, kalam, jnanam, karma, karta, shraddha, jagrat, devatu, agriti, surgadi, nishta. Actually, all of them we have seen what they mean, is it not? In Sattva, Rajasa, Tamasa, in three modes, we have discussed all of them before. So we won't talk about it now. You know what that means. Sattvagunam, Dravyam in Sattvagunam, Desham in Sattvagunam, Phalam, all the previous verses in other way, other words. So then Krishna says, 31st verse, Sarve Gunamaya Bhava Purusha Avyaktadishtida Drishtam Shrudam Anudhyadam Budhyava Purusharshabha. Sarve Gunamaya Bhava Purusha Avyaktadishtidaha Drishtam Shrudam Anudhyadam Budhyava Purusharshabha. Sarve Gunamaya Bhava. Everything is Gunamayam and Gunabhavam. All things are Gunamayam. We talked yesterday, isn't it? Gunamayam. Sarve Gunamayam. No thing in this world is out of Gunam. Gunam is present everywhere. And Gunabhavam is there because of that. Because they are Gunamayam, they are Gunabhavam is there. Sarve Gunamayam Bhava. Gunamaya Bhava. Purushavyakta Dishtida. Drishtam Shrutam Anudhyadam. Buddhya va Purusharshava. For Krishna says, Uddhava, whatever you see with your eyes, whatever you hear with your ears, whatever you have thought in your mind and intelligence and meditated upon or thought through, like this, whatever objects are there in this prakriti, and whatever that you are in relationship with, which is controlled by Prakriti or Purusha, which means everything, is nothing but three modes of nature. Nothing but three modes of nature. It's an amazing statement, isn't it? That to make us aware that these three modes of nature, there is nothing in this creation outside the three modes of nature. The only vastu which is not in the three modes of nature is Krishna or consciousness. Consciousness or awareness or jnapti, prajna, whichever way we call that. Or in other words, Antaryami inside or Krishna inside is the only vastu which does not have three modes of nature. So till that is yesterday we said, spoken about this, that if you want to come out of gunam, gunamayam, gunabhavam, the only way to do that is to be absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. Or always in contact with a vastu which is not in gunabhavam, which is not gunamayam. So in that case what will happen? The gunabhavam will go from inside. Because mind, intelligence, senses, everything is filled with gunam. So if you allow them to make contact with the gunamayam, then gunabhavam will build up further. So if the gunabhavam has to go, first thing is we have to stop the contact with the gunamayam objects, which has got gunam. That includes persons, objects, everything. Then after that, we have to make contact with that vastu which has no gunam, nirgunam, which is Krishna. In that case, you can escape from the gunabhava. That's the only way Krishna is saying here. So, important words here. Sarve gunamaya bhava purusha avyakta dhishtidaha drishtam shrutam anudhyadam buddhyava purusharshava. For example, try to understand this. This is a serious thing. Krishna is saying there, whatever you have seen, whatever you have heard, and whatever you have thought in your mind, whatever you have seen or heard, or whatever you have thought in your mind and intelligence, it's all gunamayam. There is gunam present in, they are in contact with the three modes of nature. So, what Krishna is saying here is, suppose you are thinking about a particular padartham. Padartham is the word in the Shastram. I'll hold on to that word because I don't know what is the, you can't get that right word in another language. Padartham means, in a translated way you can say for example, this is a padartham. This is a padartham. This is a padartham. This is a padartham. Any object you can say is called padartham. But this padartham, what we call it as padartham, this padartham, how do they exist? Padartham exist because you remember them. Is it not? Say, if I remember this mic, then it is in my mind. When I remember that, it is in my mind. So if I remember them, it comes into my mind. When I remember this, it comes into my mind. But actually, physically, it's not going inside. Is it not? It doesn't go inside my mind physically. What's happening? It creates a bhavam inside me. Do you understand? That an image, some impression of this product, padartham, is created inside my mind. It means it is bhavalmagam. It is a bhavam. And the moment this is taken away from here, it goes away from my mind. It goes away from my mind. That means all it does is, this object, it creates a bhavam inside. For example, if I see this mic, what I will remember about this mic? Few things. I'll remember the name and the form, plus I'll remember this is stainless steel or whatever material it is. I'll say that it has got this form on the top for the speaking side, and then I'll say it amplifies nicely without any hindrances. So a few things centered around this padartham will stay inside me. That means it is bhavatmakam. It creates a bhavam inside my mind. Vastu doesn't go inside, does it? Only a bhavam goes inside me. Similarly, with everything else, if I look at the computer, for example, it creates a bhavam inside me, but it doesn't get inside me. What the mind does is, it picks up some bhavam about a product, about a person, about various objects in this world. That is why a padartham, whatever padartham, if you remember, whatever object you remember, or from your memory you take it out, all it is remaining inside you in the form of some thoughts. In some form it remains inside. Mike remains in one form and the book remains in another form. The table remains in another form. What it is some bhavam it creates inside me. That's all it is. But in Shastram, when they say padartham, padartham must have, there is another word they use, it called vastu satta. Vastu satta it is called. Vastu satta means only then they will call it as padartham in Shastram. So that is what this difficulty with the padartham. Now, English you can say, oh, this is another product or it's an object. I can say like that. But object and product is not padartham. Padartham is that vastu padartham must have vastu satta. Vastu satta is what is required in the padartham. None of these things, padartham, none of these objects have vastu satta. So therefore, I can't call them as padartham. I will come to this later. What this padartham means. So, what Krishna is saying here is, sarve gunamaya bhava. That all the objects here is gunamayam and they have no vastu satta. I'll come to vastu satta, what it means. So all the objects, Krishna saying, that they are gunamayam and they have no vastu satta. Gunamayam, you know what it means. The three modes of nature is present in them. And that includes your actions in this world, karmam, and all the rules and regulations you follow here, acharanam. And then whatever you speak, words, and whatever transactions you do in this world, all of them, it will appear as though there is vastu satta, but it has no vastu satta. It has no vastu satta. Actually, strictly speaking, none of them have any vastu satta. Vastu satta is not there. All of them is bhava matram. Bhava matram means, it creates a experience inside in the mind and it goes away. For example, you have done some karmam. That karmam may have created some effect inside in the mind and then it has gone. It does not have any vastu satta there. So, bhava means it's an experience in the mind, an emotion in the mind. Because, why it is called bhavam? Because the reason is, suppose your mind is finished. The mind is gone. Then all these things goes. Do you know what I'm saying? As long as the mind is there, only then all these products are there, all these people are there, all these gross bodies are there, all the objects are present there. So none of them have got any vastu satta. That is vastu satta. Vastu satta means, if the mind goes away, they will also go. Therefore they have no vastu satta. Therefore they are not padartham. Real padartham is that even if the mind has gone, it should stay inside. And that's only Atma. This is what Krishna's point finally. The message in this chapter is that. Uddhava says to Uddhava, Uddhava, only when the mind is there, all these things are there. That means all these objects, personalities, places, these things what Krishna listed before, dravyam, desham, phalam, kalam, jnanam, karmam, karta, shraddha, jagradavastha, Devatvam, Surgadhinishta, all of them, there is no Vastu Satta there. They are all there, only, it is only when you have your mind. If your mind is there, they are all present. If the mind is gone, Krishna says they have all gone. They are not there anymore. Do you get the point? What Krishna is saying? It's a subtle thing it is, because we never think like that. We only knew through the mind to work with. And therefore, all the time we have accepted everything through the mind. But here Krishna is telling us that if the mind goes away, none of these things have any reality. None of them has any reality. Therefore, there is no Vastu Satta in them. Vastu Satta. That is why, remember in the Bhagavatam also you will see in the earlier, Krishna mentions there, isn't it, that Dharma Projida Kaida Votra Parano Nurmatsaranam Sadam Vedyam Vastavam. Vastavam is referring to that Vastu. Atra Vastu Shivadam. Vastavam is only Vastu. Vastavam is only Vastu. Vastavam means truth, is only Vastu. So whenever Bhagavatam says Vastu, Vastu refers to Atma, the Self. There is no, other things don't have any Vastu Satta. Vastu Satta is only in that Vastu which is inside, Antaryami. There is nowhere else. So this is the point Krishna is driving to us. That under three modes of nature, if you continue analyzing things, you won't get to the truth. Because they are under the modes of nature. And they are only present there if the mind is there. Once the mind is gone, then, say for example, now my mind is thinking about this mic. As soon as my mind goes to the book, the mic is gone from the mind. I cannot simultaneously, I can't think about the mic as well as the book. That's not possible. Is it not? The mind in nature is like that. If I start thinking about the book and reading the book, the whole impressions, what I had about the mic, has disappeared somewhere. So you can see there, when they are present, only then, in the mind, only then you are experiencing them. That is called Vastu Satta. So, Vastu Satta means that, Krishna says here, they are, all of them are Manomayam, Manomayam, Mayamayam. Remember? When Krishna started his instructions to Uddhava, this is how he started. Look at the 7th chapter, what Krishna said that at that time. And that thing is repeating again here. Look at the 7th chapter. When Krishna started instructions to Uddhava, which one? 7. Vidhi Maya Manomayam. Yaditam, that verse, you have to connect it with this verse. Yaditam manaso vacha chakshurbhyam shravanadivi nashvaram grihyamanam cha vidhi mayamanomayam. Yaditam manaso vacha chakshurbhyam shravanadivi nashvaram grihyamanam cha vidhi mayamanomayam. Vidhi, mayamayam, vidhi, manomayam. It is mayamayam, it is manomayam. Mayamayam means gunabhav or gunamayam. Mayamayam means gunamayam. Three modes of nature. Vidhi, mayamayam, vidhi, manomayam. Only when the mind is there, and only when the modes of nature is, only when the mind is there, modes of nature is there, it has any existence. If the mind is gone, modes of nature is gone, they have no reality. Yadidam manasa vaja Chakshubhyam Shravanadibi. Either in your mind, or through your speech, or through your eyes, or through your ears. Whatever you are seeing, experiencing in this creation is Nashwaram. They have no reality. Grihyam Anamcha. Know this very well, he says, that you are Grihyam. That means that you are experiencing in that at the moment. Because of the presence of the mind and the senses. So, through the mind and through the senses, whatever you are experiencing in this world, Krishna says, they all are either in the mind or in the Maya. Either Mayamayam or it is Mayamayam. It is mixed up with the three modes of nature and it is mixed up with the mind. It's an important verse. Yadidam manaso vacha chakshurbhyam. This realization will only come when there is a lot of sattugunam inside us. And when we have become very, very fine inside. That's when this realization will happen. Not otherwise. Now we can only chant the verse. Yadidam manaso vacha chakshurbhyam shravanadibhi nashwaram grihyamanamcha vidhi mayamanomayam. Mayamayam, manomayam. There is nothing outside this, Krishna is saying. So, it is based on all these things. You will see in the 28th chapter, Krishna is saying, the world is not, does not exist. It's all supported with strong arguments. It's not just Krishna comes and says, the world doesn't exist. No, not like that. Krishna is saying to us, little by little, step by step, he is taking us to that state. Making us aware that you are, because you see our problem is, we use the senses and the mind in this life and many lives before. So somehow or the other we have got trapped in that. And now we are thinking, everything what I see and everything what I hear is the only truth. This is the stage we are now. Everything what I see and everything what I hear is the truth. Krishna is saying exactly opposite. Krishna is saying to us, Nashwaram Grihyamanamja Vidhi Mayamayam Manomayam. No point in giving any value to it, because they are not the truth. They are not the truth. So, totally discouraging that attitude. So, and science is completely dependent on the mayamayam and omayam. Isn't it? So, where is, what's going to happen? Imagine. How you can do the research for your rest of the life. You don't get anywhere. Because it's totally against the principle of Krishna's instructions. This, the way they are going on with their approach is wrong. It doesn't work. Only in Sattugunam you will understand it. Even to understand that you need Sattugunam. What Krishna is saying there. Yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravanadibi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. There itself, in the beginning, in the 7th chapter, when Krishna starts talking to Uddhava, first thing he told him is this. Because if that is not understood, then the remaining thing will be difficult to understand. That's the point Krishna is making there. So anyway, while concluding this chapter also, Krishna is stressing that point once again. Sarve gunamaya bhavam purushavyakta dishtidaha drishtam shudam anudhyanam budhyava purusharshabha. Sarve gunamaya bhavam. Everything is gunabhavam and gunamayam. Purushavyakta dishtidaham. Purusha, which is inside. It says here that which is controlled by Purusha in the Prakriti, that drishtam shudam anudhyadam va anudhyadam buddhyava purusharshabha. Addressing, and they are all nothing but different transformations of the three modes of material nature. Different experiences we have of different objects in this world is due to the different modes of nature. Different modes of nature. For example, you can see anything in this world, how we experience is different from one person to another. Is it not? The world itself is experienced by us in different ways. Why is it so different? Because of different gunabhavam. A person in Satya, for example, we are walking through the street. There is a lot of activities going on in the market. And say, you go walk into the a marketplace where they are selling vegetables, fruits, meat, fish, so many things they are selling in the market, isn't it? So, once who is in Sattugunam, what will happen to him? When he sees that side of it, which he doesn't want to get, any connection with it, he won't walk in that direction. Because seeing that itself is disgusting for that person. He doesn't want any. That is a satogunam. Rajogunam, what will he say? He will say, let's see if we can do bargain from there. Tamogunam, he will only stay there. He won't come to the other side. So you can see how in our own vastu is the same. The same market, the same products they are selling. Every time it's the same vastu there. But the people who are coming, they are seeing in different ways, three different ways. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Sarve gunamaya bhava purushavyakta dushnidaha drishtam shrudam anudhyadam buddhyava purusharshava buddhyava purusharshava. So that is the important message in this chapter. Important message. You will notice one thing. In the seventh chapter when Krishna started, he said many things in the first few verses. Subsequent chapters are expansions of those instructions. Subsequent chapters are expansions of... That is why that seventh chapter, I mentioned before also, great, great personalities, when they speak, they will first give you a summary. A few important words, because they know you are most receptive when you are first sitting down to listen. Then you become a little bit that tamogunam, rajogunam comes and starts pulling you down. So it is at that time everything is spoken in a expanded on that and given. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has followed the same, Bhagavatam also same thing. Whenever Krishna is speaking, you can observe this. And finally, after spoken everything, Krishna will conclude everything again. And then allow you to go home for mananam, for reflection. This is the system by all the great personalities follow. Acharyas, great devotees, jnanis, they all follow this process. Initially they will tell you seriously what they have to say in a few words. In a few verses or few words they will tell you. And then they will expand on that. And then they will again summarize it and tell you so that you can go home and reflect on it. This is the idea behind it. So here also Krishna says here that everything, Krishna says to Uddhava, never forget that it is all gunamayam. Everything is gunamayam or gunalpagam. So mind, whichever gunam is dominating the mind, present in the mind strongly, that bhavam will be there in him. That bhavam will be there in him. Suppose satugunam is present in him, then satya bhavam will be there. Rajogunam is present in him, dominating his mind, then rajasik bhavam will be there. So finally, sattva sambhati. That building up sufficient satugunam must be there in the mind, he says. Then everything will become satyam. Everything will become satyam. If every bhavam inside becomes satyam, then he will not take birth in this world. If everything has become satyam, then he will not take birth in this world, or he will not suffer any of the miseries of this world. After saying this, only request Krishna has is that our bhavam inside has to become satyam. All the bhavam inside has to become satyam. And if the bhavam becomes satyam, bhava means our mood inside, the mood. If it becomes satyam, then we will leave material existence. Samsaram will go away. So that includes dravyam, desham, phalam, kalam, jnanam, karmam, karakam, shraddha, avastha. All of them is gunamayam and bhavamayam. And these are the things which are created and destroyed, isn't it? Creation means all these things. And then they are destroyed. And Krishna says here that all of them have born from inside and it will go from inside. You know what that means? That means that any object exists only when the mind is there, that it's born from inside. Because of the presence of the mind, these objects have come. The world has come. And if the mind goes away, all the objects also disappear. So therefore, It comes from the mind, it goes back into the mind. Because it goes back into the mind, goes away, they are also gone. So only when there is mind inside, the objects are present inside. And one who has managed to get over this, with this understanding, and able to come out of the mind, in him, the sattva sambhati will increase. Sattvagunam will build up inside. And finally, Krishna says, if that sattvagunam builds up intensely inside, it will develop into bhakti. That is how the bhakti is, proper bhakti will develop in the heart. Unless sattvagunam builds up, bhakti won't happen. In rajogunam and tamogunam, it's not bhakti. Only in the sattvagunam, that bhakti, proper bhakti will develop only due to when there is an abundance of sattvagunam inside, and when that bhakti will develop inside, he is released from here. He doesn't have to come back here. So, in the next verse you can see, these trigunam, Krishna is saying, they are the cause, three modes of material nature is the cause of material existence. Three modes of material nature is the cause of material existence. So if you won over these three modes of nature, then eternal happiness will come to that person. Eda samsrudaya pumso guna karma nibandhanaha yene me nirjida saumya guna jivena chittajaham bhakti yogena mannishta malbhavaya prabhadyade tasmal dehamimam labdhva jnanam vijnana sambhavam gunasangam vinirdhuyam mam bhajandu vijakshanaham nisango mam bhajed vidwan apramato jidendriyaha. That is the final verses in this chapter. And here Krishna is saying, Eda samsrudaya pamso gunakarma nibandhanaha yeneme nirjida saumya guna jivena chitajaha and bhakti yogena mannishto malbhavaya prabhadyade tasmal dehamimam ledhva jnanam vijnana sambhavam gunasangam vinirdhuya mam bhajandu vijakshanaha nisango mam vaje vidwan apramato jidendriyaha. So, jiva, according to the three modes of nature and the karmam that comes from the three modes of nature, in accordingly, his journey in material life, his journey in the material world. So, one who has come out of these three modes of nature, he, because there will, bhakti will develop in him naturally, and he will get fixed up in me, in Krishna. And he will become qualified for eternal happiness. So therefore, tasmad, Krishna says, tasmad, jnana vijnana sambhavam imam deham ladhva vijakshanaha gunasangham vinirdhuya mam bhajandu. Therefore, the knowledge, realization, all of them is only possible in this human body. In this human body. And those who have got that power of discrimination, intelligence here, they let them leave the three modes of material nature and let them absorb in the Atma, absorb in Krishna, he says. And that process, Krishna says, vidvan nisangaha jidendriyaha apramataha san mam bhajet. He says, such a person who has that discrimination, let him get detached to the modes of nature. Let him control his senses, and without any pramadam, any ahangaram inside, let him serve me. Let him serve me. Krishna is saying like that. Let him serve me. So, more or less, that chapter is finishing. Then there is two more verses where Krishna is saying, Rajastamascha vijayen sattvam samsevayamini sattvam jabiyedyukto nairavekshena shandhadi. That some muni sattva samsevaya rajastamasta abhishchayet. Muni means a person who is in a, trying to advance in a spiritual path. He should only accept sattvikam. Everything sattvikam. Everything sattvikam. And he should win over rajasam tamasam. Why? Nairabhakshena shantati yuktaha sattvam cha abhijayed. If sattugunam builds up inside, he will become shantabuddhi. That means his intelligence, shantadhi. Shantadhi means his intelligence is in shanti state, peaceful state. And what else? Nairabhakshena. A realization comes inside, I don't want anything from this world. This is nairabhaksha. Nairabhaksha means. Nairabhaksha means there's nothing in this world worthwhile chasing after. I don't need anything from here. This is nirabhekshatvam. Nirabhekshatvam means, like you remember Sudama, nature. Don't want anything here. Imagine that state. Even essentials he was not, we consider as essentials. He didn't have any list of essentials. That was his state. That is that nirabhekshatvam. Doesn't want anything. Completely satisfied in the self. Krishna says, when that stage comes, he has even crossed sattvagunam. That's the state when he has even crossed sattvagunam. And that verse is saying. That come through sattvagunam, he should win over rajogunam and tamogunam. And with abundance of sattvam, bhakti will develop. With the result of proper bhakti inside, nirabhakshada will come. Nirabhakshada means, don't want anything here. Nothing, I don't need anything in this creation. I'm happy within me, within myself. That state. Remember that word? Nirabheksham unim shandam, nirvairam, samadarshanam, anubrajamyaham nityam, puyayet angri. That's the state of devotee. Krishna honors such devotees, isn't it? And at that stage, you can say, you have even crossed sattvagunam. But up to that, you are in sattvagunam. But when this nirabhekshatvam comes, that means no more demands, no more desires inside. Because there is no desire inside, there is no demand either. No, not asking anything anymore from anybody. Simply satisfied in that relationship with Krishna, in the bhakti level, relationship with Krishna, or in the experience of the realization of the self for a jnani. Either way, it doesn't matter, it's the same thing. That in bhakti level, it is that relationship with Krishna in various rasas. Shandam, Dasim, Sakyam, Vatsalya, Madhuryam, all that rasa relationship with Krishna. Or in the jnani level, it is knowing very well that I have no contact with the matter. I am pure consciousness. Awareness, in other words. So that is that verse saying there. At that stage, he has even crossed sattvagunam. Sambadhyade gunair mukto jivo jivam vihayamam jivo jiva vinirmukto gunaishashaya sambhavaihi mayaiva brahmana purno na bahir na andarascharet. Now Krishna is saying, this is the end of jiva. If he has reached that state, that's the end of jiva. Sambadhyade gunair mukto jivo jivam vihayamam jivo jiva vinirmukto gunaishashaya sambhavaihi. Jiva, why now? What happened now? Earlier we saw, jiva means subtle body. There is mind there. Ahankaram there. So this ahankaram and the modes of nature were present in the jiva. Ahankaram and the modes of nature are present in the jiva. Now what has happened? Jiva has got released from that. From the subtle body. Linga deham. It is called linga deham. Linga deham means subtle body. That's called linga sharira or subtle body. Is that means he has come out of the three modes of nature. Three modes of nature had left him. Then jiva jiva vinir mukta ashaya sambhavaihi gunaisha muktaha purnaha na behi na andaraha charet. By now, first thing, three modes of nature has gone. Secondly, that ahankaram inside. Ahankara grandhi. Jivo jiva vinirmukta. That means freedom from the ahankaram. Ahankaram has gone. So if modes of nature has gone, ahankaram has gone, then what's left there? Pure consciousness. Jivo jiva vinirmukto gunaishashaya sambhavaihi. Then mayaiva brahmana purno. Then he has become Brahmam. He has become Brahmam. And what does that mean? then inside or outside, there's no inside outside after that, is there? Pure consciousness, he remains in that state. Mayaiva brahmana purno, na behir, na andares charet. He says, he won't look anymore because of that experience. He will not get distracted by the sense enjoyment outside. He will not be distracted by the confusion inside, in his spiritual life either. Everything has gone away. He has come to his pure state, and that means jivatvam has gone. He is not a jiva anymore. He has become Brahmam. He has become Brahmam. So this 25th chapter, which is the three modes of nature, is a process. Krishna is saying here that one who has got a human body, it is to be utilized for developing this process of freeing oneself from the three modes of nature. And human form, Krishna is saying, is worthwhile for jnana vijnanam. Jnana vijnanam, Krishna says there, that sattvam chabi yadjitto nairabhekshena shantadi jiva jiva vinir mukto punas shashaya sambhavai. For developing jnanam vijnanam, there is no better form than this human body. So, one important thing Krishna mentions there, this is the final stage, that when a person has come to that level, he will have no desires. No desires inside. And because there is no desires inside, he has no demands in this life. Therefore, there will be no sangam anywhere, no attachment to anything. And even by then he has already gone beyond the three modes. And earlier Krishna said Sattuganam will be there, isn't it? In Sattuganam all these things are happening. But that Sattuganam he gets over from Sattuganam through this state of Nirabhekshada, Nairabhekshyam. He says there, Nairabhekshena Shantadi. Nirabhekshada is the one that helps him for the freeing from the Sattuganam. So this Nirabheksha Bhavam, what does that mean? Nirabheksha Bhava means he knows by now, his understanding or his realization is such that there is nothing I have to get here. I don't have anything to achieve here. Nothing to achieve here. Nothing to experience here. There's nothing for me to get here. Nothing to be known here. All these things will happen. Nothing to be known, nothing to get here, nothing to experience here, nothing to achieve here. All these are impurities in us. Isn't it? All these are impurities in us. And once that stage has come, then he is Brahmam. He is Brahmam. And once the Sattugunam even has gone away from him, that means he has become Gunadhitan. Gunadhitan is the word in the Bhagavad Gita. Gunadhitan, he says, isn't it? Gunadhitasam uchyade, he says somewhere in that 13th or 14th chapter. So, at that time, he is not a jiva anymore, he has become Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta. So, in this way, jiva has left his jivatvam. He has left his jivatvam. Jivatvam was what? Ahankaram, as well as the three modes of nature. So, he has left his jivatvam and he has removed all the three modes of nature from inside. And gunabhava sparsham, contact with the gunabhavam has gone away. Therefore, jivabhavam has also gone away and he has become one with the Brahmam, one with the truth. So therefore, due to sense gratification, does not give him any problem outside. Vishaya bhogam. He won't have any attraction for that. That is gone. And there will be no problem inside because of thinking about it. Outside, they won't disturb him because gunabhavam has gone. All sense objects are all gunabhavam, isn't it? Gunamayam they are. That's what this whole chapter is talking about. Because he has come out of the three modes of nature, the objects outside, they are not causing any problem for him anymore. Inside, the problem these objects create inside in the mind generally, gunabhavam, that also has gone. Because gunam has completely disappeared from inside. And that means he has no more birth. Janmam, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, all these things does not exist for him. He has become brahmagaram. Vikara means he gets released into the sayujyam state. Sayujyam means he gets becomes one with the brahmam. And Krishna says there, it is for this purpose that this chapter has been spoken. This chapter has been spoken. So we have seen now, first we have Vikshadhita to control the mind. And to through the knowledge of the inquiry of the self, and in that way control, knowing well that mind is the cause of every problem. He recognized that, who? Bhikshu. Mind is the cause of all the problems. And then he analyzed it very well through his process. Self-inquiry process, he analyzed it very well. And he understood that this mind goes away, I am out of trouble. There is no more trouble after that. As long as this mind is there, there will be problem. That is why his conclusion was that, is it not? I'm just trying to explain how these different chapters all points out to the same one thing. That's what we have to understand here. So, but their way of doing it is different. That's all it is. The goal is the same. They all recognized mind is the problem. Bhikshu has recognized. But he analyzed in one way. He analyzed it, nayam janome sukadukha hedu na devadalma grahakarmakala manaparam karanamamanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. He is saying that I am going on in this cycle of repeated birth and death only because of this thing called mind inside, which we analyzed in the Bhikshugita. And finally he said that edam samalmaya pararthanishtam. The last words in that, he says there that I am completely taking shelter of Krishna and I am moving out of this mind. Mind cannot touch me anymore. He says that. He said, no. Edam samasthaya pararta nishtam. You will see a verse at the last of the, the last, I think, the, Edam samasthaya 58. Adhyasidam purvadamayer maharshibhi aham tarishyami duranda bharam tamo mukundangri nishevayeva. He says, I will get over this mind. How? Edam samasthaya para alpanishta. Alpanishta, situated in the platform of the soul. I'll get established there. Adhyasidam purvadamayar maharshibhi. Great, great rishis and sages have followed this process and they have come out of it. Aham tarishyami, I will come over. How? Durandabharam, this most difficult thing. Tamo mukundhangri nishevayeva. Completely absorbed in Krishna and taking Krishna's shelter, I will escape. Saying that, Bhikshu escaped. But the result was that you can see at that time, he does not trust his mind anymore. And to such a degree, vairagyam had come to him. But the result was bhakti developed in the heart, which was fine. Bhakti has developed. So that way finished that chapter. The goal he achieved, in other words, which means freedom from the mind. Freedom from the mind. Then we looked at Sanghyam, the next chapter. In Sanghyam, we have seen there that what causes the problem in the mind is Vedabuddhi. Vedabuddhi. Vedabuddhi is the problem in the mind. That means to look at everything in this world in good and bad, right and wrong. Like this. Everywhere I have Bheda Buddhi, I'm seeing objects, I'm saying this is a good one, that's a bad one. People, I'm seeing he's a good person, he's a bad person. Somebody, I'm seeing, oh, he's my friend. Somebody else, I'm saying, oh, he's my enemy. This way. This Bheda Buddhi won't go away easily. So, in Sankhyam, Bheda Buddhi creates Dvaidam. Bheda Buddhi creates Dvaidam inside. So, to get rid of Dvaidam, Bheda Buddhi has to go. So, Sankhyam is the process. Krishna is saying here that this Bheda Buddhi is a product of the mind. It's not coming from the soul. So, like the Bhikshu did, Sankhyam analyzes everything in a particular way. Way means that Sankhyam brings the process of creation and the process of devastation. If you analyze it properly, you will know there is only one vastu. There is only Brahman. It is from Brahman everything has come. And everything goes back to Brahman again. That process discussed in the Sankhyam. In the form of creation and in the form of dissolution. Nityam, Nainityam, Prakritam, Atyantikam. Four kinds of creation was discussed in the Sankhyam. And four kinds of dissolution also, devastation, also discussed Nityam, Nainityam, Prakritam, Atyantikam. Four kinds. We have seen all that separately, what they are, what they mean, isn't it? So Sankhyam is telling us that if you study them very well, and if you get yourself absorbed in that, one day you will know that there is only Brahman here. There is not many objects as you are perceiving now. And that Dvaidam or Bheda Bhavam, Bheda Buddhi will leave you then. In that way, you can come out of mind. You can get the freedom from the mind. That is the second process what Krishna has spoken. That was the 24th chapter. Then after that, Krishna says, in the 25th chapter, actually there is only Krishna here, Brahman. Krishna or Brahman? Brahman, Krishna, these are words in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam you will see often. In Bhagavad Gita, how many places Krishna says, I am Brahman. Brahman is me. I am not different from Brahman. So practically what Krishna is saying is that everything in relationship with Krishna is Nirgunam. And only that is in relationship with Krishna is Nirgunam. Outside Krishna or Atma or consciousness, everything is under modes of nature. Everything under modes of nature. So what is the option then? If everything is under modes of nature, and including us inside, mind, intelligence, everywhere there is modes of nature, products, all objects are in modes of nature. So, the way to free yourself from this is to come out of the modes of nature first. Because modes of nature is the one which causes the bondage for the linga sharira, for the subtle body. So, to understand that, Krishna spoke about the three modes in the nature, satyagam, rajasam, tamasam, and Krishna explains everything in this system of satya, rajasa, tamasam. Satya, rajasa, tamasam. That includes dravyam, kalam, desham, karmam, karta, buddhi, and sukham. Everything. Dravyam, everything Krishna spoke in terms of satya, rajasa, tamasam. Krishna is saying to us, if you keep on keeping with the satya side of all these things, the satya side of everything, sattvagunam will build up without your own effort. Provided if all these things are in the satya level, that includes aharam, includes association with the people, includes karmam, kalam, so many things, Krishna said, whatever that list is mentioned there. If all of them are in the sattvagunam, Krishna is saying that eventually sattva sambhati will happen. Sattva sambhati means intensified sattvagunam inside will build up. If that sattvagunam builds up, it will develop into bhakti. Sattvagunam will develop into bhakti. And if that bhakti develops in the heart, jiva is not anymore jiva. Because once it comes to that state, bhakti develops, he says, bhakti will take care of everything. You don't have to worry about anything. Ahankaram will go its way. Modes of nature has withdrawn from inside. He is not a jiva anymore.
Krishna is saying he is not a jiva anymore. He is Brahman itself. He is not different from Brahman. And that is the stage of that Sayujya Mukti.
So, three nice different ways Krishna has spoken. Through Bhikshugina, Sankhyam, and now through Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, which is the modes of nature. After this, in the next chapter, that is the 26th chapter, Krishna is saying that the main problem with us, all of us, is due to association. Association is the problem. Krishna gives a lot of importance to association, isn't it? Everywhere. In the 12th chapter, you remember? Salsangam means what? Salsangam means association with the Sat, Atma. When there is no salsangam, when there is no association, very easily we fall into that. So, our establishment in the truth is disturbed due to association. And in this chapter, how due to bad association you can fall into such a deep level, you can fall down, and due to good association you can reach in the highest level. Simply through association, how that can happen. That is this chapter about. And that is called Ailagila. And here Krishna brings people who have lived in this world as examples. That's another interesting thing about Krishna. He doesn't talk about what happened in the heavenly planets or spiritual world or some other planet. Right in this planet, every example, if you look, Krishna's example in the Ekadasha Skandam, everyone is from this world. Bhikshugita, Avanti Brahmana. Bhikshugita example. Here, Puriravas, the king in the lunar dynasty. Then, Dattatreya Maharshi, Dattatreya Gita. Remember? King Dattatreya was the great sage who lived way back before, who had discussion with Yadu, and then the 24 spiritual masters and all that. Yadu. All of them, examples from this world, not from anywhere else. So that we don't have to say to Krishna that it's not possible. Oh, in the heavenly planets possible, but not here. We will argue that way, isn't it? So that is the reason that in this, Krishna has taken a personality who comes in Krishna's lineage. Krishna himself is in his lineage, Puriravas. Puriravas was the beginning of his lunar dynasty. Comes from there. So, Sangam or association is the cause of falling down. It's the cause of falling down. And to escape from falling down in this world, the best opportunity, solution is Salsangam. Dusangam is the cause of destruction. Salsangam is the route for advancement or success in life. So, Shri Bhagavan Vacham Mallakshanamimam Kayam Labdhva Madharmamastidaha Anandam Paramalpanam Almastam Samupedimam Shri Bhagavan Vacham Mallakshanamimam Kayam Labdhva Madharmamastidaha Anandam Paramalpanam Almastam Samupedimam Mallakshana Vimam Kayam Labdhuam Adharma Mastida Almastam Anandam Paramalpanam Mam Samupedi. First thing is Mallakshana Vimam Kayam. Kayam means body. This body, what we have now, is saying here that is capable of making a success, making this life a success. For example, if you look at other bodies in this world, birds, beasts, plants, aquatics, none of them, you can say they made it a success in life. Why? Because self-realization is not possible in those bodies. An animal is concerned, it takes birth, lives for some time, hunts for its food, eats the food, then sleeps, and then probably it may have its maithunam or its sex life, and then finally it leaves its body and it goes from here. So you can't say that that body was anyway profitable. That body didn't do anything else except these four things, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, and then left the body and gone. So if you get a body like that, that is not of much benefit. Here, first thing what Krishna does is, he glorifies the human body. He is glorifying the human body. Mal lakshanam imam kayam, Krishna says. This body has got one special benefit, that he will, in this body, it is capable of knowing me, knowing Krishna. Mal lakshanam imam kayam, that is, lebdhva madharma mastida. He can know me, and he can live in me. Mal lakshanam imam kayam lebdhva madharma mastida. That means he can follow Bhagavata dharma, Krishna consciousness, and he can go back to Krishna. This one opportunity is not there in the other form, in any other form. Because I am present inside them as Antaryami, all human bodies, and human being has the only capacity to know that Antaryami is inside. Krishna is inside us as Antaryami. Animal cannot know that. Birds cannot know that. Bees cannot do that. Plants, trees, they are all in a different state. Only in the human form, Krishna says, this particular realization is possible. That in I am inside him, I am the Antaryami inside everyone, I am the super soul of everybody, and I am the one who is the source of all bliss or happiness. All of them. Madharmama astidaha anandam paramatmanam atmastam samubhaitimam. Anandam paramatmanam atmastam samubhaitimam. Anandam, the source of all happiness is paramatma inside. Anandam paramatmanam. And atmastam, you can be situated in that state. Samubhaitimam. Once you are in that state, then you are released from that state. That's what Krishna is saying. So, malakshanam imam kayam. Malakshanam imam kayam means that this body has got all the features of Krishna. All the features of Krishna. Ishvara's form, Ishvara's symptoms are present in this body. And as far as Jiva is concerned, it has got a lot of limitations. It's got a lot of limitations. But in relationship with Krishna, we have a lot of limitations. But if we don't take into account all those limitations, you can experience that Krishna's presence inside, awareness inside us, in all ways, by converting this body in that state. That is how this body has been created. Krishna's point is, this body has a lot of limitations. But this has got certain benefits, that with this body you can experience Krishna. You can experience Krishna inside, His presence inside. That is the way it is constructed. Remember this? Earlier, I think it is in the 13th chapter. In the same canto, 13th chapter, he mentions this. Not 13th. 20th chapter, verse 17. That is there, but more than that, when Nehamadhyam, Yes, that is there. Dehamadhyam Salam. There is another verse, Brahmadi Loga Dishanam Udamava Deva. The last line in that. That is in the, which chapter is that? Brahmadi Loga Dishanam Udamava Deva. That is the last line. A long verse, big verse it is. Where he is saying, Brahma, after creating, he felt happiness when he created this human form. That is what it says. Brahmadi Loka Dishanam Udamava Deva. I'll tell you where it is. That is while talking about Brahma mentions there he created so many different bodies, but when the it is in the 9th chapter, 11:9:28. Srishtva purani vividhani ajayalpa shaktyam vrikshan sarin sripapashun khakadam shamalsyan taistai adushta hridaya purusham vidhaya Brahmavaloka Dishanam Udamavadevaham. That is why. There again, Krishna is saying the same thing. There is that is in the end of all the spiritual masters, 24 spiritual masters. Finally, after talking about the 24 spiritual masters, Dattatreya Maharshi told, I have one more spiritual master, he said. 25th one, which is my own body. My own body is my spiritual master. Imagine a person is taking his own body as his guru. That's how he's saying that. Deham gurur mama, if you look at the 25th verse. Deham gurur mama, virakti, viveka hetu, vibrasma sattva nithanam sadadat udarkam, tatvanyanena vimrushami yatha tathami, Parakyam ityavasido vijaram yasangaha. He says here that this body is my spiritual master. For what reason? Because body taught me what is distress. Suppose I haven't had this body, I would have never known what distress is. Is it not? Body, especially when in the old age, one after the other, it hits you from all sides. And then you start realizing one day you feel that you had enough. Then you want to go from here. Don't want the body anymore. This body. Many, many people finally before they leave the body, they come to that state. Just given enough problem that is when we start discussing about this assisted dying and all that comes after that. Assisted, it's a big topic discussed now, isn't it? That sometimes they are also started realizing now, these people who are making the plans, it's not worthwhile prolonging the life to such an extent. Is it worthwhile? All these years they were telling us, oh, you have to increase the lifespan. And they were feeling proud about it by increasing the lifespan. And they were telling, oh, in the advanced countries, people have much higher, what do they call, lifespan. And they were making charts. America has got 80, 85 for men and women. Japan has got 80, 90 and all that. There's a whole list there. And they will make you feel that, oh, if you like taken birth in India, you got only 60 or 40, something like that. And if you go to Africa somewhere, it's only 30, 20. So, and they're feeling happy about that. Now they're saying, after getting all these things to get to this 80 and 90 levels, is it worthwhile? This is what they're saying now. That is what is coming out. So then, now the opposite way they want to go. How to make it smoother through this assisted scheme. Assisted dying system is all developing that way. Everywhere they are talking about it now. In America they were saying that there is different states have different rules in America, apparently, about this. About this, what you call the... euthanasia. Yeah, they have different rules in America for different states. Some rules are favorable for those who wants to use it, like Switzerland rules. And in many places in Europe also. Because they have realized it. Perfection is not possible in this body. Now they are realizing. They have to go wait so many years to come to this. Rishis have told us this millions of years ago. Don't waste your time trying to make your body perfect. It will never happen. You can never become perfect in this body. When you know that, why go and put all your energy and effort in that direction? What do you get from that? Better thing is to accept it and recognize it and live in that way in this world. That's the solution to the right solution. Instead of trying to fighting against the nature, fighting against the prakriti, you will never win that battle. So the same thing, Dattatreya Maharshi is saying, Deham Gurur Mama Virakti Viveka Hetu. It created detachment inside me. And instead of developing bodily attachment and trying to make the body perfect and body a success in life, Deham Gurur Mama Virakti Viveka Hetu. It created detachment in me. Even all the other things, injunctions in the Shastram, is only for this one purpose. Finally, you have to get disgusted with this body. That's the purpose. Because if you are attached to the body, you will never give it up. It will keep on growing on the wrong direction. In the wrong way, you will progress. If you get attached to the body. That's what happens. In the wrong way, you will make the progress. So, Deham Gurur Mama. So it gave me virakti, he says, detachment. It created detachment inside me. And what else? Vivegam. Vivegam means discrimination inside. I have understood that this is nothing to do with me. That is a discrimination. I am not this body, in other words. Vivega hedo vibrasma sattvanidhanam sadadad udarkam. Sattvanidhanam sadadad udarkam. That the problem with this body, that this permanently distress it is offering. It's offering distress all the time. And that multiplies in the form of birth and death. Multiplies in the form of satatad udarkam. Appears, disappears. Appears, disappears. Appears, disappears. Constantly new bodies are coming, old bodies are disappearing. That is the nature of this body, isn't it? Even now, it's growing. And new cells are forming, old cells are dying. Like this, a changing process is constantly happening here. Destruction and birth and destruction goes on here. And anena tattvani yatha yathavat vimrshami. But this body, I am able to use it for the purpose of knowing the tattvam. Various tattvams in this creation. Tadabi parakyamit avasidaha asangasan vijarami. And finally I know that this body parakyamit avasido vijarami asanga. The destination of this body is, you can say, either it will be eaten by the fire and turn into ashes, or it will be buried in the earth and the earth it will get disappear in the earth. Or it will be eaten by the birds, foxes, birds, and things, eagles or whatever, different birds. It will become their food. So it's either food for them, either food for the earth, or food for the fire. Parakyamit avasitlo vijaramya sangha. And therefore, I'm wandering around in this world without any connection with this body. The Dattatreya Maharshi says this. Then he talked about few things in relationship with this body. Jayalpa japta pashubhritya grihapta vargan pushnadiyal priyachigirshaya vidanvan swandesa krucham avaruddhana sadeham srishtuasya bijam avasidati vrikshadharmaha. Once this body has come to us, then we start getting attached to it. Someday it started getting attached. And that attachment, Krishna is saying here, in the form of, developed in the form of wife, children, sense objects, and servants, house, friends, relatives, social life, everything. And I just want to build it up more and more. And for that purpose, I work very hard, acquire wealth, and finally, I leave the whole thing in one lot. But I have not left it without any causing any problem. No, I left it because in the process of acquiring all this, I have done a lot of karma and has created more karma vasana in me. And that karma vasana has sown the seed for more bodies to come later. So I didn't leave it empty-handed. I didn't go empty-handed. I left this place by creating much more karmic reactions from all the karma I have done to keep this body and the bodily expansions happy. For that I have done a lot of karma, and that results of all that karmic actions has created vasana inside me. That means I have created more, a cause for more fresh new bodies to accept later on in life. And just like Krishna says here, that plants, trees, they grow and then they create flowers and the fruits. But when they die, the plant die, they've already left a seed in the fruits for them to grow again in a similar way. In our body, we have done karma, and that karma has created enough karma vasana inside and prarabdham, which is the seed for many more future bodies to come. That is the important point. And then he says, jihvaikitatochudam upakarshadi tarhi karshashishno nyadastha gudaram shravanam kutaschal grano nyadascha baladascha karma shaktir bhakhya sabatnya miva gehavadim lunandi. This is the same verse from the Prahlada's prayers. Prahlada Maharaj's prayers, you will see the same verse. That how different senses in the body and the mind and others pulls us all the time in different directions. And they all want their gratification. And they compare that with a man who is married to many wives. Each wife wants his association, and so each one of them is pulling him in different directions, and therefore he is in trouble. After saying that, he says, when you get this body, there is only one utility of this body. There is only one utility. What's that? Srishtva Purani Vividhani Ajayalma Shaktiyam Vrikshan Sarin Sarvapashun Khagadam Shamalsyan Taistair Adushtakraya Purusham Vidhaya Brahmavalokadishanam Udamapadevaha. That Brahma, Lord Brahma, after he has created various bodies, different bodies, Srishtva Purani Vividhani, various kinds of bodies, Ajay Alpa Shaktya Vrikshan Sarin Sarva Pashun Gagadamsham Alsyan, they are all the different kinds of bodies, trees, snakes, animals, birds and fish, aquatics and all other things, and all of them were created, but he was not satisfied. Because in all those bodies, Brahma noticed that they are not going to get much out of that body, as I said before. They all take birth, eat, sleep, mate and defend, and then they die and go. Brahma thought that this kind of body, what is the use? But taisthai adushtakdaya. Adushtakdaya means he was unhappy when he created all other species. Purusham vidhaya. When he come to this body, human body, he noticed one thing, that in human body there is a special capacity for self-realization, for knowing and to get released from this bodily attachment. Brahmavaloka Dishana. That is what is called Brahmavaloka Dishana. That he can go back to Brahmam. Brahmavaloka Dishana it is called. He can become Brahmam. He can become Brahmam. That special feature is a feature of the human body. Only in the human body. Brahmavaloka Dishana. Udamapa Deva. Udamapa Deva. And then that gave him happiness, satisfaction in him, for Lord Brahma. And that is the same thing Krishna is repeating here in this verse. Mallakshana mimam kayam ledhva madharma mastida anandam paramalpanam almastam samupaidimam. Almastam samupaidimam. That means this body is not like the other bodies. And a person who has got a body like this, he should become madharma mastida. That he should know Bhagavata Dharma. Madharma means Krishna's Dharma, which is Bhagavata Dharma. One should study Bhagavata Dharma very well and take shelter of Bhagavata Dharma. And suppose he keep on doing that, what will happen to him? Almanam anandam paramalmanam almastam samubhaitimam. He will become ananda swarupam or paramalma swarupam, and he will be situated within himself, and he becomes, reaches, goes back to Krishna. So a person who has got such a body, it has to be utilized only for that purpose. That is the message there. And that means to become, to acquire that Ishwaratvam, or go back to Krishna, or to experience Krishna. And if one does not do that, people will get themselves destroyed, or their life will become a hell, or they will wasted their life in this world, human body. So that is the first thing Krishna has to say in this chapter. So Mallakshanam imam kayam labdhvam adharmam astida anandam paramatmanam atmastam samupedimam. Till we reach that state, atmastam, situated in the atma, up to that point we cannot stop this. Atmastam. Atmastam means to be situated in the stage of atma, not in the bodily level. Not in the bodily level. Complete freedom from the body and the mind. So, we'll have a break now. And then we'll see after a few minutes. Shri Bhagavan Uvaja Mallakshanamimam Kayam Ladhva Madharmamastidaha Anandam Paramalmanam Almastam Samubedimam. So, after one who has got a human body, he should understand the value of that body. First thing, that's what Krishna is saying. He should know the value of the body. Madharma mastida. That means he should get fixed up in the Bhagavata dharma, Ishwara dharma. And suppose he has done that throughout life, then finally he will have to come back to Krishna. If he has done that throughout his life, he has to come back to Krishna. So when he has got a human form of life, because he has not used it for that purpose, he has not used it for purpose, and to experience Krishna or to go back to Krishna, because he has not done that, is that why he gets degraded in this world? Is that why he is suffering in this world? Because he has not used it for realizing the self or for serving Krishna. Is that the reason why he is suffering in this world and he gets destroyed here? Actually, that is not true. The fact is, Krishna is saying here, as long as you don't abuse this body, as long as we don't abuse this body by engaging in sense gratification, you will escape a lot of miseries in this world. First thing, if you don't abuse the body in sense gratification, thinking that life is meant for enjoyment, very dangerous principle that is. Once you get that idea into the head, then you will destroy. First thing that Krishna says, not because that you are not serving, you are not taken to my shelter, Bhagavata Dharma. But instead, engaging in sense gratification, instead, if you absorb the life in executing Bhagavata Dharma or Krishna consciousness, all the time if you absorb in serving Krishna one way or the other, in chanting the holy name or engaged in deity worship or in Bhagavatam, in that way, that is sufficient, Krishna says. You don't need anything else in this world. That not to come to this misunderstanding that because I am not serving Krishna, therefore I am getting into trouble. Krishna says, no, because you are engaged in sense gratification, that's why you are getting into trouble. That's why all the miseries are coming in life. And due to sense gratification, we have executed many, many lifetimes before. It has created karma, karma vasana, and the after effect of all that you are going through now in this present body. So it is not that Krishna's point is that if you stop the sense gratification and make life simply on this principle that Bhagavata Dharma has to be executed and absorb in Krishna's service in Bhagavata Dharma, even if you are not educated in any other way, Krishna is saying there, it will become your nature. Which one? Atma dharmam. Even if you are not educated, particularly in a big way, but this simply absorbing in Krishna's service and Krishna consciousness, in other words, which means chanting the holy name, deity worship, kirtanam, bhajanam, and swadhyayam, bhagavadam, bhagavad gita, prasadam, in this way everywhere connected with Krishna, without being broken away from Krishna. If you live that life, Krishna says, in a natural way, it will become your atma dharmam. Atma dharma means you'll become that. You won't go away again, go to sense gratification. Because now the problem is that we keep spiritual life to a couple of hours, and the remaining time we think, oh, I can have a free life, what I want. And there all kinds of sense gratification comes in. That is not necessary, that is not good. That's what Krishna is saying here. That mallakshana mimam kayam labdhvama dharmam astida. My dharma means atma dharmam. That means absorbed in the spiritual life. That will help a person to get situated properly in the self, eventually. So, then once he comes out of this material life, he must have experience of Krishna by then. If he lives a life like that, that's all. Krishna says, don't get absorbed by the sense gratification, don't get involved in the sense gratification, and whatever time is left in this world, simply engage in these activities, which is called Bhagavata Dharmam. Holy name, kirtanam, bhajan, and prasadam, and bhagavadam, salsangam. In this way, if you constantly spend your life in this world, Krishna says you will become eventually established in atma. You don't have to particularly do anything for that. Don't have to even get educated for that purpose specifically. That is the point Krishna is making here. That means if we do all these things, we will not get infected with the bad association. Bad association. That is what he is saying here. That such a person will not be affected by the modes of nature. Look at the verse. Gunamaya jiva yonyo vimukto jnana nishtaya guneshu maya matreshu drishyamaneshu avastudaham vartamano binapuman yujyade avastuver gunaihim. Gunamaya jiva yonyam vimukto jnana nishtayaham guneshu maya matreshu drishyamaneshu avastudaham vartamano vinapuman yujyade avastuver gunehim. So, due to being living a life like that, which is also jnananishta, such a person, in course of time, his ahankaram will disappear. Ahankaram grandhi will break up. And then he will know that the everything is kalpidam. Kalpidam means in the mind it is created. Kalpana matram or kalpidam. Kalpidam means you have created inside your mind of its existence and all other false imaginations inside, that life is meant for enjoyment, I have to extract maximum enjoyment from this world and all activities in this world to see that in relationship with my sensual happiness. This is all a part of that. That is what Krishna is saying here. Gunamaya jiva yonyo vimukta jnana nishtaya guneshu maya matreshu drishyamaneshu avastuda. Then avastuda, he will know that this world has no meaning. It is avastuda. Avastuda means there is no vastu satyam, there is no vastavigatvam for that. And even then even if he is absorbed living in this world, in the gunam, in the three modes of nature, that gunam will not affect him. He has already freed himself from the gunam. So that is an important instruction about Bhagavata Dharma. And in relationship with Puriravas, that is what has happened. That Puriravas initially got into trouble. But then it took a long time for him to come to his senses. When he came to his senses, and due to Salsangam, he realized it that all I had to do was not to get involved in sense enjoyment. And living that life, eventually he got established in the truth. So, gunamaya jiva yonya vimukto jnana nishtaya
Guneshu maya matreshu, drishyamaneshu, avastudaha. Vartamano vinapumani jade, avastubir gunehi, avastubir gunehi. So, gunamaya jiva yonya, gunamaya jiva yonya. So, jiva yoni is gunamayi. You understand that? That means that you have to get released from the jiva state. Because jiva state is gunamayam. Gunam is present when you are a jiva. Gunam is present in us. And that will only happen through jnananishta. Through jnananishta, established in the truth. So, jiva yoni, Krishna uses the word jiva yoni. Jiva yoni means the jivatvam or existence of jiva is based on that yoni, jiva yoni. What is that jivatvam? Jivatvam means based on the three modes and the ego. Ahangaram and the three modes of material nature. And what is the name of that? Is false ego or ahangaram as we call it. So, to free yourself from that ahangaram, and that is the way to reach that state of Brahman, Brahman realization. To come to that, we have to free ourselves from the effect of ahangaram or false ego. So, and when you have these three modes of material nature present in us, on the with the false ego, at that time, vichevam and avaranam will be there. Vichevam avaranam. Vichevam avaranam is the one which creates this jagrat, sopnam, sushupti, three states. They will be present there. So, when they are present in us, and at the same time, that will influence our existence in this way, that all our kosham means all our cells in the body, the mind, everything, they will expand based on the gunam inside. All of them is gunamayam. All of them is gunamayam. Body is gunamayam. Mind is gunamayam. We have seen all that, isn't it? Body in the form of air, bile and mucus, it's modes of nature. Mind has got in the form of vichevam avaranam, modes of nature. Then buddhi in the form of or memory, in that way there is modes of nature present there. So modes of nature is present in everything. So Krishna says that gunamaya jiva yonya vimukto jnana nishtaya. But if you have that proper knowledge and if you live a life in the proper way, then that will establish yourself in this state where very easily you will get experience of Krishna. So yesterday we talked about this Vaidika dharma, different Vaidika dharma in relationship with the spiritual life. For example, all observations of various things depending on where we are. For example, on a daily basis, japam, dhyanam, kirtanam, prasadam, swadhyayam. So that means Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, studying, salsangam. All this is Vaidika karmanushtanam. For brahmanas more, like for example, for they have to chant Gayatri, Agnihotram, they are all there Vaidika dharma. So for ordinary people, these things. So all the time, if this is followed with the body and the mind, continuously, these things, japam, dhyanam, kirtanam, puja, deity worship, and then the all of them together, if you do that regularly in life, very easily Krishna says, sattugunam will build up in that person. Only thing he has to do that, all the time. Then sattugunam will build up. Sattugunam, if it builds up, bhakti will come to him. And with that bhakti, that sattugunam itself will disappear. Even sattugunam will disappear with that bhakti inside. And naturally, the result will be ahangaram will go from that person. That's why 24 hours engagement is necessary in spiritual life. Strictly speaking, that's the way it should be. 24 hours, not part-time basis. Part-time doesn't work. Part-time will do something, it will keep you going, but part-time won't protect you, get you to the goal finally. We have to, at some point in time, we have to withdraw from everything else and come to full-time. Sometimes we say, isn't it? We say it's a full-time devotee. Sometimes it's a part-time devotee. Sometimes it's a congregation member. We are all in that congregation member, they say. And sometimes they say they are curious.
and some others you say, so many categories, they are themselves decided who is in which category. Anyway, that's their choice, but whoever has done that, but he has his own ideas, not based on Bhagavatam, based on his mind, he has decided who belongs to which category. But what Krishna is saying here, that that the easiest process, what is Bhagavata Dharma? What's Bhagavata Dharma? Bhagavata Dharma is nothing but all these things. Japam, Dhyanam, Kirtanam, Prasadam, and Swadhyayam, and deity worship, puja, and Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, deity worship, all of these things together, if one is absorbed all the time in that, Krishna says, very quickly, Satvagunam will build up in that person, because he has no contact with the Maya at any moment. And when that happens, that Satvagunam alone will create bhakti inside, and when bhakti develops inside, ahankaram will go from inside. Because there is no bhakti, that's why ahankaram is still inside. So, so here, he says here, ahankaram will go. So, jnananishta, that jnananishta comes from all these things, by practicing it, and at the same time hearing about it, and realizing it. Altogether it changes the person. And from jiva yoni, from that jivatvam, one has to escape. Krishna points out there. And continuously, intensely upasana, otherwise established in the jnanam process, and one who has got released from the grip of false ego or ahankaram, such a person, Krishna is saying here, drishyamanesu avastita vartamanopi nam puman yujyate avastubir gunai. Yujyate avastubir gunai. That means he has touched the truth. He has practically become, all the qualities of Krishna consciousness has come to him. And because all these gunam, what we are experiencing is a product of maya. Maya matram idam, he says. Maya matreshu. From maya. And they are business of the maya. And all the products Krishna said before are gunamayam. And all these objects Krishna says here, whatever it may be, whatever you are experiencing here in this world, Krishna is saying they are avastu surubam. Remember in the last chapter? Avastu surubam. They are not vastu surubam. Vastu surubam is only Atma. So how to be in touch with Atma all the time? In this way. All the time busy with chanting, japam, dhyanam, kirtanam, puja, swadhyayam, bhagavadam, bhagavad gita, tirthayatra, kshetram, darshanam, kshetra darshanam. In this way, constantly, 24 hours absorbed in the spiritual life. The natural way, Krishna says, bhakti will develop, satugunam will come first, and from satugunam, bhakti will develop, and from bhakti, ahankaram will go, from inside. And the reason Krishna says here, that everything in this world is gunamayam, is already spoken about that. And even if it has come, they are all there, they are avastu surubam. There is no vastu sata in them. So, just like Krishna says, whatever you are seeing in the dream, so many objects you are experiencing in the dream, they do not have vastu sata. Is it not? They do not have vastu sata. They are not real. Real in the sense, they have come only because of the mind. Where is the dream experienced in the mind? Is it not? Because of the presence of the mind, you are experiencing the dream. Krishna says, just like in the dream state, you are experiencing the objects due to the presence of the mind. In the vacant state also, you are experiencing the objects due to the presence of the mind only. Only due to the mind. Therefore, all the objects in the dream has no vastu sata. The objects in the vacant state also has no vastu sata. Do you understand? You see, all the objects what you have experienced in the dream has no reality because it was experienced by the mind. But in the vacant state, you are thinking that they all have reality. They don't have any reality because they are also experienced in the same mind which experienced the dream. So, vastu sata is not there in the dream state. Vastu sata is not there in the vacant state either. This is Krishna's point.
Vastu satta is only there when you have gone beyond the three, out of the modes. Out of the modes. Having said that, Krishna is saying here that, so, once you have left them, the objects in this world, and even after that, if you have come out of it, as a devotee, if you have practiced Bhagavad Dharma or Krishna consciousness, and eventually you have come out of that, even if you are in the middle of all this world, what you are living here, jiva will not anymore go back to it and start mixing with it, once you have come out of it. That's jiva's nature. Jiva, once it has left the padartham, padartham means, this is called, in the jnana margam they call it as padartha bhavana. Padartha bhavana means, I am giving life to all the objects by taking them inside my mind. That is how they get their life. If my mind is not taking it on, then they have no life. They exist or not, it doesn't matter. It has no effect on me, is there? So Krishna's point is that padartha bhavana. Padartha bhavana means, there's a stage in the jnana margam, one crosses that stage and go to the next one. So where you are imagining that all these things are in me, it is in me. Why? Because it's in my mind. That's where it is. So if you have practiced Krishna consciousness or Bhagavad Dharma and somehow you have come out of these modes of nature, then even after that, even if you live in this world, Krishna is saying here, you will not get affected by the padartham here, vastu sarupam. That, and even if you mix with them, jiva inside won't have any connection with that. That is the important factor. Then, because jivatvam, that nature of mixing with the padartham or products, goes away when ahangaram goes away. It is due to the presence of the ahangaram that you are experiencing this problem. So that is why that point Krishna is making it there. These are all the subtle side of the spiritual life. Only when you understand this and you take it in your own way, if you understand these things and start working on that, living that, then you will see it all makes sense. It's not that somebody comes and tells you, oh, chant 16 rounds and every day. And bathe 3 times. A lot of orders they have given. That's okay. Orders are there. And you kept on doing it for a while, but nothing is happening. It has to happen in a particular way. There is a sequence to everything. And that process is, Krishna is saying, when we take to spiritual life, we have, and it is from that all this understanding has come. What is Bhagavad Dharma in relationship to Jnana Margam and Yoga Margam? It is much easier, Bhagavad Dharma, to execute, isn't it? It does not require a lot of effort. Compared to Jnana Margam, it's much easier. Or bhakti, this Bhakti Margam is much more easier. So continuously practicing this process and then acquiring the knowledge of the self, suppose you have come out of this jiva state. Imagine that you have come out of the jiva state. He will never be affected by material existence anymore after that. Because even if he is seeing that, even if he is seeing the world, he will realize it is avastu. There is no vastu satta. Remember that? Vastu vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam. You will know that it is not vastu, it is avastu. It is not a vastu. Avastu. You will come to that understanding. Just like there are sometimes, when there is a strong wind, the dry leaves, dust, everything flies around in the sky. Similarly, and you will see so many things are going there, but you will know that properly in the sky, on the space, there is nothing there. Sometimes something comes and goes away. But sky is always, space is always pure and clean and empty. Similarly, you will also know that all these vastu, actually they don't exist. It means it becomes vastu shunyam. Vastu shunyam means that it has no relationship with you. Practically you will know it's a pratiti, not anubhava. Remember these two words? Pratiti and anubhava. Pratiti means perception. Perception is only through the mind. Anubhavam is in the soul, in the alma. So pratiti
has no meaning. It is in the mind, some pratiti. That for me now, you are all pratiti. For me now, I am anubhavam. In my experience, I am there. But in my experience, you are not there, you are only pratiti. Because I am seeing you all through my eyes, and your existence is known to me through my senses, through my eyes. But if I, or through any other sense, if I touch you, I know that you are existing. Or by seeing, I know you are existing. If I hear your sound, I know that your sound is coming from you. That way I know your existence. So, through the different senses, I can experience you. That is pratiti. But my existence, whether I am there or not, I don't have a pratiti. I have an anubhava, experience, isn't it? So, once you have come to this realization, Krishna says, you will know everything else except you, your own self, is all pratiti, not anubhavam anymore. So important thing for that is first thing, one has to come out of sense enjoyment. Vishayanavrti, freedom from sense enjoyment. Those who have full-time absorbed in the Vishayam. Vishayam means sense gratification. Full-time sense gratification and full-time in the activities of the body and activities in the Gunabhavam. Activities in the body, activities of the, or Gunabhavam. Those who are absorbed in the sense enjoyment, they are busy in that. Sharira Dharmam and Gunabhavam. That is their life in this world, is it not? When they are completely absorbed in sense enjoyment, for them, all the time, it is the body or it is the Gunabhavam that is controlling them. But fact is, Shariram or body itself is avastu. It has no vastusatta. Body has no vastusatta. Because only due to continuously thinking about it, that this body is existing. You understand? That because we got so absorbed in the body, constantly looking after the body, maintaining the body, and attending to the needs of the body all the time, this body tend to exist all the time. Otherwise, body has no existence. And we also have this misunderstanding that this body will give me happiness. I am Atma, the soul. How can this body give me happiness? That is a misunderstanding in me, is it not? This is all called avidya. Avidya means all these things. First thing, to think that I am due to my intense absorption in the body, this body is surviving, staying back. Body is living now. Secondly, that body will give me happiness. To whom? Atma. Misunderstanding again. And it will give me happiness. But not knowing all these things, that a body won't give you any happiness. And body is not your identity, because I don't know any of these things when I was born. Therefore, after taking birth, what happened? I started thinking, this is my body. This is my body. And never thought about it, who am I? Never thought about that in life. All I knew, as soon as I came to this world, this is my body. Everybody lives like that in this world. And not only that, I'm thinking that it is my body. And where did I come from? I have no idea. All false ideas in my head. Without properly analyzing that, if you live in this world, that's considered to be the very poor way of living. Very lower. Prakritam, it's called. To live in this world in that way. Never asking, who am I? Where I have come from? Because you are identifying with the body. All I have done was, as soon as I got my birth in this world, I came out, and in a few years' time, I started strongly identifying with this body. And I lived the rest of my life as though I am this body. That's a big mistake. I was born, I didn't know anything. Then in course of time, I was told, I somehow got attracted to my own body, thinking that this body will give me happiness. and body will give me everything what I need. In that misunderstanding, without inquiring about who I am, where did how this body developed, without any knowledge of that, I simply spend the rest of my life in looking after this body. Krishna is saying that life is the worst life to live in this world. So, and everything, all their objects in this world, such people, Krishna is saying, their goal in this world will be always something that they can achieve with their body. With their body. When they say body, body includes body, mind and intelligence, all three. Yeah? So the people who have that concept or perception in them, they will live in this world only with understanding what can I achieve here in this world with this body, the mind and my intelligence. They finish there. They can't go any more further than that. They are put into this category. Krishna calls it as prakritam. Prakritam means particularly very crude and impure existence. Crude and very impure existence. That existence is called. And Krishna says, first thing you have to come out of that understanding of life. That's the most of the world, isn't it? It's in that state. Most of the world is like that, if you look at it. That they have come, they have taken birth. In a few years' time, bodily identity has developed. Then he is thinking from then on, if I have this body only, I can have some happiness. And therefore, rest of the life is spent in looking after this body and giving protection to the body and trying to extract as much happiness through that body. Because he thinks that body is the source of all the happiness for him. Instead of knowing that not the body, Atma is the source of happiness. That understanding is not there. So that is what Krishna is saying. That person is coming from a lowest state. Therefore he says, people who have that kind of understanding, identity, their association must be given up first. Those who live like that, that means you will have to give up a lot then. Association of a lot of people in this world. Sangam na kuriyan asadam shishno daradrapam kochil tasyanum tasyanugastamasyanthe padatyandhanugam thavad. Sangam na kuriyan asadam shishno daradrapam kochil tasyanugastamasyanthe padatyam dhanugam thavad. Shishnodara tripam asatam sangam kojit abhi na kuryad. Shishnam udaram. They have only two things to satisfy. The tongue and the genitals. Tongue and the genitals. And ubastam udaram. Those who are completely absorbed in that, their happiness is centered around these two places. Upastam and Udaram. And one should never associate with such people. Krishna said, Sangam na kuryat. Sangam na kuryat. With whom? Asatam, Shishna Udara Drapam Kochil. Shishnam and Udaram, the stomach, belly and the genitals, that's their only centers of happiness. There's nowhere else happiness for them, in those two places. So, therefore, you can see, because out of the, say, 6 billion or 9 billion, I don't know how many billion we have now, you can say 99%, 95%, 99% will be belonging to that category. Isn't it? Shishnodara Drapam Kochil. So, Sajjanam, or people who have freed from that, are very, very few. Very, very few. Most of the people whom we come across in life belongs to this category. Which one? Shishnodara Drapam Kochil. Sangam na kuriyat asadam Shishnodara Drapam Kochil. That Shishnodara Drapam they are. So, by saying that, not that we hate them, or we have anger towards them. That's not the reason for saying this. That's not the reason for being. The only thing is, they are addicted to sense gratification. That's all. And Shishnam Udaram. That means they just like to eat always nice things. Today try Indian, tomorrow Chinese, then something else. So because everything they want to try out, because udaram, important for them, the taste and the happiness from that. Similarly, Krishna says here, always looking for the association with the opposite sex. Shishnam, Shishnavadaram, Dhruvam Kochal. So in this way, their whole life will be like this. There is nothing higher in life. Whole life is centered around these two, eating and sex life. So whatever happens in their life, it doesn't matter. Because their happiness is centered around this dirty thing called body. In the body and also dirty places like the senses. Places like the senses. If it is like that, if your happiness is only located in these two places, one, this dirty body, which is nothing but, in the Bhagavadam, it is condemned all through the way. Pingala talks about it, Rukmini talks about that, Maharshi, Dattatreya Maharshi talks about that. Everybody says what this body is capable of, is it not? Now, if all my happiness, if I have to extract from this body, and in the senses which are present there, then what possibility has he got to come to know about the soul and experience the soul? That is what Krishna is asking. That he will never be able to have it. He will never get the experience of the soul. And because their thoughts, those people who are absorbed like that, their thoughts will always go towards these two things, eating and sex life. That will be their happiness. So, one Mahatma used to say this in a very, very nice way, he puts it. He says, you know these eagles fly very high, is it not? They are not like the other birds. 30,000 feet, 30,000 feet, they'll go. They'll go such high, they'll be flying. So high. All other birds climb 1,000 feet, 5,000 feet, they fly maximum. But eagles are nature, they got such large wings and they fly so high and they can see things on the ground from such a height. They can see everything what is lying here. Sometimes if you look some movies they have produced, how the eagle is coming from such higher level and they will look in the sea from such a height and they'll see the fish inside. And they can suddenly drop down, get the fish and go away with that. Very powerful they are, these eagles. Very powerful birds they are. Although they belong to the bird category, they are one of the most powerful species in the bird category. So these eagles, they are situated very, very high, in the very higher level, isn't it? And if you look at them, you will say they are not affected by this world. To such level they have gone away from here. But when you look at him, his activity, suddenly when he comes down here, if there is a dead body, he will go after that. He will see the dead body. Particularly you will see them above the, where the bodies are burnt. Bodies are burnt. You will see them flying high. When you have completed your cremation and gone away, after you have left, he will come and take what he wants from there. So, if anywhere any dead body is lying there, and which is smelly, and which is rotten, all that person who is in such a higher level, all his taste is in this rotten dead body or flesh that's lying on the earth. So, he is looking for that, and he will come down all the way to get it. Similarly, these people, they will be very experts in their vyavaharam in this world. They are very experts in their vyavaharam. They are very good in making money. They are very good in running big institutions, industries, offices or whatever, businesses and all kinds of things. And they are very wealthy and they have big name, fame, everything in this world. But like the eagles, although in everything they are big, their happiness is in these two places. Which one? Shishnam and Udaram. Like the eagle. Eagle has gone very high in this world, But his happiness is lying in this dead body on the planet, on the ground, lying there, and he'll come down to enjoy this dead body, flesh. Similarly, human species also, many of the human beings who have advanced in the science, advanced in their knowledge, material knowledge, advanced in their civilizations, advanced in all other things, fields, if you look at them carefully, you will see when they want some happiness, they come to these two things. Which one? Shishnam, Udaram. This is the reality, is it not? Big men, you'll see here, they have become big people, prime minister, president. And then you see that one day, news comes out, news of the world. It tells you, president was busy with the servant lady who was cleaning the White House, or something like that. All these big men, they have this problem. When it comes to their happiness, they have to go for it. Shishnam. Or Udaram. One of these two things. Udaram supplements the Shishnam. So that is what it is. So even though they have become president, prime minister, or chief executive, or the big businessman, and whatever, made a lot of money in this world, this, that, and the other, when it comes to, if you look at them, where are they looking, getting their happiness from? From these two sources. The two places, filth in the body. One, Shishnam, other one is Udaram. Shishnam and Udaram. That is the important point Krishna is making in that third verse. He says, don't think that all these men who have made a lot of money or who have gone very high in life, they are the best example, because their taste is still Shishnam and Udaram. The taste is very low taste they have. That is what Krishna is saying here. But in front of others, they will dress up as though they are very sophisticated and they are very advanced, and they will give you a feeling of sophistry, or they give you an impression that they are very sophisticated people, is it not? That's how they behave in the front of the society. In the society, they are big people, because society respects them for their position, wealth and everything. But in reality, their taste is very, very low. Very, very low. And very subtle level, their mind will be absorbed in these thoughts, in these kind of thoughts. So such people, what possibility, Krishna says, how will they understand anything about the soul? Because the taste is very poor, very low taste. So what happiness can they have? What experience can they have about the soul? This is the question Krishna is asking there. And he gives an example for that. An example for that he is saying here. Aila samradi mam bhada agayada brihachravaha urvashi virahan mohyan nirvinna shoga samyame. Aila samradi mam bhada agayada brihachravaha urvashi virahan mohyan nirvinna shoga samyame. Brihachrava ailaha samrad Urvashi virahad mukhyan shoka samyame nirvinna imam gadham agayada. This great personality, Pururavas, he was an emperor. Pururavas was an emperor. And that emperor, because of separation from Urvashi, there is a story about that, how this happened with Urvashi and Pururavas. Pururavas went to heavenly planets, to Indra's planet. He saw Urvashi there. Urvashi was Indra's, personally entertained Indra. Urvashi has entertained Indra. Urvashi was the most beautiful of all the women present in the heavenly planets. Urvashi was created by Narayana Rishi. You will see that in the Bhagavadam, that from his Uru, that is how the third Urvashi came. From Uru, or the Thai, she was born. When Narayana Maharshi was performing penances, Indra sent Apsaras women to disturb his penances. At that time, Narayana Maharshi was not disturbed by any of them. Instead, from his thigh, he created a group of women, and out of them, the most beautiful personality was Urvashi. So Narayana Maharshi told them, "You can take Urvashi and go back to the, back to your heavenly planets." She went back to heavenly planets. Urvashi went to the heavenly planets. Urvashi lived in the heavenly planets, sometimes in Brahmalokam, sometimes in the Indralokam. She had habited, lived in so many different places. Once it so happened, Urvashi was cursed that she had to come and live in this world for some time. So when Pudiravas went there, for a particular reason Pudiravas was there, and Urvashi saw Pudiravas. When Urvashi saw Pudiravas, she already had this curse to come and stay with a man here in this world. When she saw Pudiravas, Urvashi was, normally Urvashi think about all of us. You know what she thinks. It is like, we are like worms for Urvashi. Like we think about the worms or bacteria or something very nikrishtam. Nikrishtam means very low in every way. Urvashi generally thinks about this human species in that way. She doesn't want anything to do with us. Look, she won't even look at us. That's Urvashi. But when she saw Pururavas, she thought, he's all right. I can go and live with him for some time. And in that process, my curse time, that I will come through this curse what I had, I'll come out of it. So Urvashi saw Pururavas. Pururavas also saw Urvashi. Pururavas got attracted to Urvashi. So when Pururavas came back, Urvashi came back with him, with Pururavas. And that's how their family life started. So here, Ilan, or Pururavas is a son of Ila. Remember I mentioned this, he had no Janma Shuddhi. Janma Shuddhi means, because of the way Pururavas was born, due to the difficulties of his mother. Ayla was his mother. Ayla had to change his sex few times, isn't it? Born as a girl, changed to a man, again changed to a girl, when he went to, became a man and went to Lord Shiva's place, Ilavardham. There he got cursed, including the horse which he was riding, all changed into female. Then he came back as a man. And then Vasishtha Maharshi spoke to Shiva. And Shiva said, "The curse I have already there, that she has to become woman. I can't change that. But because you have requested, I have given this assurance to Sri Parvati, that anybody who comes here has to become a woman." So that's how he became a woman. "But I can do one thing, I'll make some changes. 1 month he can remain as a man, 1 month as a woman. Let him try that, if that works out. Because then 1 month he is a prince and a king and everything. Another month he is a princess and a wife of the king. Like that he had to live in the kingdom." If you read the 9th canto, first chapter, it will tell you about that. 9th canto, first chapter, this whole story. So, Ayla Samradimam Gadam Agayada Brihachrava. So, this Pururavas, so therefore, when he was Ila, the feminine form, when he had, that time, Buddha met her. She was very beautiful. And Buddha also come with impurity in his birth. Remember that? Because of the moon. So from both sides, Pururavas didn't have a proper birth. Proper birth means Janma Shuddhi. Janma Shuddhi was not there in him. He had a birth through the Pururavas from the mother, that you can see that Ayla. Ayla, Sudhimna has become Ayla, isn't it? Buddha has come from Chandra, moon, and Brihaspati's wife Tara, spiritual master's wife and the disciple, and Buddha was born. So Buddha did not have a purity at birth. Ayla also didn't have a purity of birth. Naturally, it has affected Pururavas. Pururavas didn't have a purity at birth. So because of all that, it has Janmashuti was not there. Although karmam, in karmam he was expert. In doing things, he was particularly very expert, great personality. But Janmashuddhi was not there. Therefore, it resulted finally that when he was born, he had got attracted to this Urvashi and it affected him. It affected him. So Urvashi, due to the presence of Urvashi and that experience what he had with Urvashi, one day he became conscious what happened in his own life and Purudeva sang a famous song that is called Aila Gita. We will discuss that in the on Monday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.